episode 123, The Younger Games, Nerdgasm.
Oh, and tonight we're going to talk about Gears of War Judgment. We're going to talk about some Walking Dead, Killer Instinct, and we're going to talk some more about some StarCraft Heart of the Swarm, as well as a bunch of news and some guy who kind of crashed. Anyways, so stay tuned.
Welcome back to yet another episode of the Tiltcast.
Again.
It's me, Justin. Across from me, I have Trent.
Hi.
And to my left, I have new redshirt potential candidate, Jason.
You forgot his name.
The voice.
The voice.
You forgot his name. And that's what you just kept wrong.
Right.
No, I didn't forget his name.
The new redshirt potential candidate.
No, I was dragging it out for dramatic effect.
Whatever.
You're no good at dramatics, dude. Just quit.
He forgot your name. Straight up. What a dick.
So, this week ought to be a little interesting. We got some things to talk about. Well, as always, it's a podcast.
We got two new games.
Yeah. We played some StarCraft. We'll be talking about it a little bit later. Yeah. You did Survival Instinct.
Yeah, I played Walking Dead, the new one.
I watched StarCraft Finals.
Yeah, that's all you did this weekend.
And I played some Gears of War Judgment. Nice. So, we got some first look. I got a first impression of that. And you got a first look of Walking Dead.
Yep.
But before we go into all of that, Jason, introduce yourself. You had a chance a little bit on one episode before.
Yeah, a little bit.
What's your gaming background?
Gaming background. Let's see. I think I've played everything since Nintendo.
Pocket Fisherman.
Pocket Fisherman.
All the way up to stalking girls in bushes. It's a big bush, though. He's a tall guy.
The couch barely contained him.
More like a pine tree, but okay. No, I remember really starting the game with 1942 and Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, right on. So,
and just on up from there.
So, currently, you have like a gaming system of choice, or
currently Xbox and PC.
Oh, right.
PC not as much the last year. Everything's advanced so fast that my laptop can't keep up.
So we're the opposite. It's been just PC mainly for us.
Well, that's because we've been big dicking back and forth with our PCs.
Yeah. Well, my Xbox just been collecting dust for It's like I had it hooked up to my computer for a long time, so I could use my big computer monitor, and just never turned it on. Just like fuck it. I turned it on to play Silent Hill. The downpour, yeah, and after that, nice. I was like, yeah, fuck it.
Well, for me, it's been a lot of catch up because I couldn't afford a lot of the new stuff right away last year. So, last couple months have been just nothing but Dishonored and Far Cry 3.
Another good game.
Worked in a little bit of Heart of the Swarm and a little bit of Judgment.
What'd you think of Dishonored?
I liked Dishonored, but I can see some problems with it as far as the Game of the Year title everybody tried to slap on it when it first came out. It just didn't fully meet the criteria for me.
I love it artistically. It's artistically, it's an amazing game.
Artistically, it's really amazing. Great. A lot of the mechanics were great, except for the stealth system.
The stealth system was kind of a pain in the ass. The lighting was a little too off for you to really do stealth properly.
And stealth system just kind of pissed me off. You know, I think stealth system, I go back to Assassin's Creed or to Splinter Cell.
Or
it just wasn't there.
Or even
Metal
Oblivion.
Gear.
Like, you know,
Oblivion,
yeah,
Metal Gear.
First-person shooter sneaking around, and the shadows really play a big part in that. And like I said, the lighting was just, there's a lot of hard shadows in it, but they were never dark enough for you to really feel like you were hiding around and people would see you.
Well,
so
not only that, you know, there were small little blips where you get through most of an area with the guards not looking up, which was the norm through most of the game, and then all of a sudden one looks up.
Yeah.
And your entire no detection achievement is ruined by that one glitch.
See, I tried to use rats and fish whenever I was the possession mechanics were actually really cool, where you could possess a guard and walk him forward and then like back out of his body and then also just slit his fucking throat and leave him there. That I really enjoyed.
There's some really satisfying moments in that game, and I think overall the game as a whole is definitely worth playing.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
I just didn't it didn't quite make all the criteria. Like you're saying, the stealth was a little bit sloppy for me. Mm-hmm. But the way it looks, the way the concept was overall, the way that it plays most of the time, aside from the stealth.
Yeah.
And and the story was fairly engaging.
It was a unique game, really. For story-wise, it took a usual revenge tale, but made it its own kind of story.
Like, it
kind of
felt like Bioshock slapped with a stealth moniker, you know?
Right.
It didn't quite do
but
it.
But
its own atmosphere.
At the same time, for a brand new concept in game, though, the story really stood on its own, a lot of them don't.
It's like even the characters, like the two brothers that you go after. That was one of, in the brothel. That was one of my favorite fucking missions in the entire game. It was fantastic. And then the masquerade ball, which just goes to shit at the end, is
the masquerade ball's really
though. Yeah. Though I will brag that I got through it no kills first time on normal.
Yeah. Nice.
So.
Not bad.
Yeah.
So you said played a bit some Dishonored, and then what else do you say you're catching up on?
Caught up on Far Cry 3 for the most part.
Did you finish it yet?
I have not completely finished it yet.
Man,
but I've been kind of tearing my time between that and, like I said, Rusty and I kind of killed a little bit of Heart of the Swarm since it came out, and waiting on Judgment. So.
Nice. So, okay. Well, I'm going to stop you there because your other two titles are newer. I want to get into some discussion about that. Mm-hmm. Other than that, have you been doing anything interesting? Or
no, man, just job change.
Right on.
It was great having a month off.
Yeah,
that's what I did with it.
Games.
That's what I did with it. Look for job, play game.
So one last thing that I forgot to mention, I've asked every one of the other people on the show, new potential candidates, what do you think uniquely qualifies you for a video game podcast, or at least this one? What do you think that you bring that nobody else brings?
Well, I can match sarcasm with Trent, so...
He has DSL.
That's number one. Yeah. I have DSL, yeah. Actually, no, I have broadband.
No, DSL, dick sucking lips.
Oh, you bastard. You guys know me. I'm just as sarcastic, play just as many games, and... let's face it, I have high opinions of games.
Yeah.
And he's been in the military, so, you know, he's got that. Him and Casey both.
We'll let them fight it out.
Well, you were a ranger, weren't you?
Trained, but didn't make it all the way through, yeah.
Gotcha. Fair enough. Well, I'm going to move on from you and move over to Trent. Aside from The Walking Dead, what are you doing?
Walking Dead. Walking Dead, I did that. Work. Trying to think if I did anything else. I went ahead and repurchased Assassin's Creed 3. I have it on Xbox now. I own it on PC because it was on sale this weekend. And I thought, well, I really wanted it on PC, but I really wanted the flag that came with the collector's edition. So I spent $120 for a fucking flag. And now I finally have it on PC, which is my preferred system for Assassin's Creed. And I installed that and started playing it, and it runs beautifully. It's really awesome.
So, but you're also running 2660 SLI, right?
Yeah, I'm running the two cards SLI, three monitors set up, and it still runs ultra settings fantastically. It's really nice.
Well, I imagine with 2660s and SLI, it should.
Well, I think even with just one card.
So you think Assassin's Creed was doing fine?
Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah, as long as you got plenty of RAM on one card.
You know what you really need to do? Fun. Here's going to be the peak of your gaming achievement.
Skyrim. And add a whole bunch of fucking
Skyrim
mods.
With 150 mods and and all the what do they call those? Those light mods.
Yeah, the
not EBMs, but...
I can't remember. But yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so there's a couple links I can throw your way.
If I ever feel
like
spending an afternoon installing Skyrim and then going in and setting up all these mods...
It's a visual gluttony.
Yeah, but
it's
but
really, really.
If I ever feel like wasting 8 hours of my life, I will go into there.
It's a true test. Like there are people with like top spec machines that have actually gotten it to bog down with like max setting Skyrim.
You know what's fucking hilarious though is I can run Assassin's Creed at ultra settings. It looks great, I run Killer Instinct Walking Dead at 60 frames per second, the whole game fucks up and acts kind of weird. So but that's, I think that's more to do with them than anything.
With optimization of that game versus something that's more of a AAA title.
We'll go into that because I really didn't have too many problems, but we'll go into that later. But either way, check that out. I started with the prologue with the whole Hathorn, you know, his entire story, and I got to the point where I showed up in Boston. And about that time, I was like, all right, I'm done.
Oh, you mean Assassin's Creed?
Yeah, sorry, yeah, Assassin's Creed, yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I got to that part, and I was just like, all right, I'm done. I met Benjamin Franklin. I was like, I'm satisfied. So I jumped off there, and I went in and started playing Anno 2070 again. Because I had been playing it the night before, and I was kind of more eager to play that than Assassin's Creed 3 again. And
did you get the expansion?
For which one? Oh, Anno? Yeah. The Deep Oceans? No, yeah. Ocean Deep. No, I didn't pick it up. Because it was 11, then it went back up to not 30, but to 21, and I was like, I'm not spending $21 on that. I'll buy it when it drops back down to 11 again. It's just, I love Anno, I really do. I'm not so much of a fan of building underwater, which I think is what that expansion largely is about building the
facilities and shit.
Yeah, and I'd hate to buy an expansion that's all about something I'm not a really big fan of. And also the learning curve on that game is so harsh. They try and do their best to kind of tell you things, but they kind of fall short here and there. And
you're one of those people that hated The Abyss, aren't you?
The movie?
Yeah.
No, I love The Abyss. Well, no,
there you go.
No, I love the idea of building underwater. It just Anno makes it a little difficult. So the way that Anno works is it's kind of, you know how in other Civ type games you have to, in order to do this, you have to get this technology and this technology.
Yeah. The tech tree is not real clear in Anno.
It's clear, it's just it's a pain in the fucking ass to get. You start off with, if you go with the tycoons over the eco-green people. So one people who live harmoniously with nature and one that's based in industrial society.
Yeah, but one doesn't produce like enough resources while the other produces a lot of resources.
So you have handicaps on both sides, which is kind of cool. And I found a way to make a huge city, and I was spread out on four different islands.
It's through capitalism, wasn't it?
No, actually, what I started out, I set the money tree high enough to where I had 80,000 credits to start with. I only spent 10,000 and sat back. And just only spent profit, not what I had in the bank. And in the end, I now have like $150,000, and I still technically only spent that $10,000 investment. But I spread out on four different islands. My main island, I have a zero eco balance, so I'm not causing any damage, but I'm not improving the environment. But that means that my property rates are staying fixed while people increase, while the people's taxes increase as they level up. So I'm making like fuck tons of money. Like, I think it's $900 every couple seconds. But spread out, and I'm into nuclear power.
Damn, you are a venture capitalist.
Yeah, and that's the cool thing, is I finally got to level 3 residents, which is the engineers. I'd never gotten that far, because it's always eco-disaster. Eco, yeah, that didn't happen this time. But you start off with, like, eco-workers, tycoon workers, and you get a tycoon... executives or something, and then you get an engineer. So there's a fourth one I haven't seen yet, but each one unlocks new technologies and new things, and they'll also demand things. You have to meet certain requirements for them to upgrade and be happy with the eco workers. You have to get them fish and liquor, a casino, and a community center where they're built around. If they're not close enough to one of those and they don't feel like they're being part of the community. The next level, you have to provide all those things plus lifestyle, which is all plastics, which comes from fucking oil. So you have to drill for oil, which then can cause oil spills. So the key to that one is don't ship your oil by boat. Do all your oil refining and turn it into plastics on an island somewhere. Ship the plastics to your main town, sorry, your main island, and that's where you actually build the lifestyle stuff.
So what Trent is saying is, it's all plastics and happy hours on his islands.
Pretty much, yeah. Lots of dildos. But you also have to get them cheeseburgers when they go at the second level. They want fish and cheeseburgers. If you're with the pussy-ass eco people, they want sushi, which means you have to start building on the... you have to start harvesting from the ocean, which sucks. So, no, I love Anno. It's a great fucking game. So, and I spent a long time playing that.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll say, for me, aside from, I'm going to kind of recap on a couple of things. SimCity, I did, Trent sent me a link the other day on, yeah. EA decided they're going to give away some free games for the trouble they've had with the launch of SimCity, which means that I'm going to kind of wait on my review until servers are kind of at a norm, and then I'll play it again maybe this weekend.
Can you decide which game you're going to grab?
I already grabbed it.
Which one?
I grabbed Dead Space 3.
Nice, nice. Are you going to actually play Dead Space 1 and 2?
So what I'm going to do, at some point, since I hit a lull in games...
Once you get the balls?
I'm going to go through 1, 2, and 3 at some point, and then I'm going to play Amnesia. Those are my goals this year. Those are my New Year's resolutions. Play Dead Space and play Amnesia and beat them all. We'll see what happens, but...
Well, I can say Dead Space is definitely a worthy New Year's resolution.
It's a great game.
I have no qualms with it being a great game. I'm just a pussy.
Yeah.
That and Amnesia. Amnesia, man, it settles the shit out of me. It's such a hard time with Amnesia.
If you're that much of a pussy, how in the hell did you get through the first 4 Resident Evils?
Seriously. Oh, they're just not that scary to me. I love zombies. Like, zombies don't scare me at all. And it's just been something. I've liked zombies since I was probably a young teenager. Wasn't much into them as a kid, but like just something about zombies. I've always liked zombies, zombie comics, and everything else. But that aside, I started to play that, and then I found out today, as of 5 o'clock, I could pick up a free game. So I picked up Dead Space 3. It's going to go with Mass Effect 3. And I was like, no, because I want to get all the expansions.
Yeah.
On the game that I've already been playing, it looks really good on 360 to begin with.
And Mass Effect goes on sale usually, and it's like Part 3. It's like $20.
And I may at some point, but I honestly play. Out of all the games that I multiplay on, I play a lot of multiplayer on Mass Effect 3. I mean, at least once a month, I jump on there with different people. I've jumped on there with you, Jason, and Dave, and Rusty, and I've jumped on there with the Nymph. And
I gotta say, it is probably the first game with a multiplayer that rivaled Call of Duty well enough that I can pry my ass off a Call of Duty multiplayer to play it.
It's the only, like, there's not a lot of games with a good Horde mode, and there's not a lot of games with a Horde mode to begin with, but... Gears of War 3 had a good Horde mode, and Mass Effect 3's Horde mode is surprisingly good.
Oh, yeah.
That was the biggest surprise of the year for me, was finding out last year the multiplayer on that game was so fucking solid.
Yeah.
And granted, it's not like a shit ton of maps, but it is that thing where you're only competitive in the fact that you're trying to beat your buddy's score.
Yeah.
And that feels a lot better than being pwned by some 12-year-old.
Well, it's a good competitive.
I agree.
Yeah, it's a good competitive co-op, and it's almost like, you know, Firefight, where you're helping each other out, but you're also trying to outdo the next person. And
well, me and you always have done that, kind of score-challenged ODST and stuff, you know?
Well, and it's, like Justin said, it's kind of a relief from, you know, we play a lot of games throughout the year. All of us do.
Yeah.
We don't spend 12, 15 hours a week. Just in a couple of days playing multiplayer like a lot of the 12-year-olds do with Call of Duty. So.
Well, and I know, so I mean, to be true to form, I mean, you're going to have this in StarCraft, you're going to have this in Call of Duty, and any game that has a really big competitive multiplayer, I don't have the time to invest in that game to become, you know, Uber, so to speak, in those games. Just because I have a lot of other things on my plate, and so for me, it's a little bit daunting to try to get that good at something.
I agree, though I will admit every once in a while, there's nothing that feels better than going on to Call of Duty multiplayer noob tubing some 12-year-old.
No, I have Black Ops 2 on PC, and I'll admit it's
it shouldn't even be satisfying.
Yeah, you're 12. You shouldn't even be on a PC. You shouldn't even know how to spell that. Dad's obviously at work.
So, that aside, I got SimCity, got Heart of the Swarm. I watched a shitload of multiplayer.
You watched the competitions.
Yeah, I was watching the StarCraft Winter Nationals on MLG.
Funny part is, once you posted that on Facebook, Rusty and I watched a little bit of it. It was fucking
kind of
amazing.
Did you look at the actions per minute as I'd show the counter? It'd go from 150 to like 320 or something crazy like that?
Dude, but you know, some of those guys are just... fucking wicked on a keyboard with different map settings. I mean,
all of them had custom keyboards and mice. All of them had their own like pro rig basically that they would bring with them, pro setup. And it was funny, like listening to the commentators, like it gets really, really intense. those commentators, the end of it, like they were saying, yeah, it's going to be all South Koreans, and it ended up being all South Koreans. Mm-hmm. And I, true to form, were voting for Zerg because the Zerg expansion just came out, and I wanted to see a Zerg player win, and it ended up being a real young kid.
Yeah.
That goes by Life. It was Life versus Flash. Flash was a like 10-year veteran Terran player, and he beat Flash at the very, very end. But yeah, they did like a best out of 7. I think he won 4 out of 6 games.
Nice.
So, but he dominated with Zerg, and I was really impressed. But yeah, if you guys don't have, if you guys ever have a chance to go to Twitch and look up MLG and then look up any of the StarCraft games, if you look up something on a pro level, it is completely different than the StarCraft game you play unless you play competitively. And we actually have somebody at some point we're going to get on the show, Matt, who plays a lot of the ladder games, and I think he's right now ranked in a... Last time I talked to him, I think he was at a silver level. Now, I'm not going to quote that because he'll come in here and correct me, but he was ranked fairly high in the silver matches. But anyways, long story short, if you get into competitive gaming, it's different than watching Call of Duty or something like that because you're watching...
It is.
The level of strategy game is it's most of the games that I watch were not longer than about 20 minutes.
Yep.
And the reason for that is they, when I say actions per minute, there is a guy literally with his left hand hotkeyed all of his building structures, and he is building with one hand.
Yep.
With the other hand, he's commanding a unit and fucking macroing them together. So this, I watch guys which would have like, at the end match, he had like 5 armies going at one time.
Yep.
And even within those armies, he's sitting there dodging different attacks.
Yep.
Between all those armies all at one time. They go to their screen for a second, and you'd watch this kid like just going all over the place. It was
yep.
unreal. It was like watching a machine.
Yep.
Like I've never seen anything that crazy. I spent $10
yep.
to but, subscribe to that pass. But I felt all right with it because it was 1080p, full commentary, everything else.
But the one thing you'll realize as you watch these guys is literally these matches come down to who makes the most missed macros.
Yeah. Well, they weren't making a lot of mistakes, but you'd see somebody who would build something versus this, and it, like, I tend to play a lot of SimCity with my Zerg or any force. I tend to like tech tree the whole way up, and I'll kind of bridge this into Heart of the Swarm since I talked about it a little bit last week, and then we'll jump into Walking Dead and we'll jump into some of the newer stuff. But you'll watch these guys like, or I would personally like build all the way up to
yep.
Nautilus or Ultralisks, and then try to conquer the map that way. The guy that won the tournament was winning with Zerglings. Zerglings mixed with Ultras, mixed with Hydras, with some Infestors. And
nice.
The cool thing with Infestors is you can take control of other units, or you can spawn Infested Terrans. And so this guy would creep up into their base, kill off all the guys' drones, and then while he's killing off all their drones, launch a frontal attack in like different waves. He's also doing a lot with Banelings. The Baneling pushes were always really fun because it was just like kamikaze all the way, but... that being said, I did finish Heart of the Swarm, and I will say that is one of the most satisfying StarCraft experiences, singular StarCraft experiences I've had since Brood War. That's saying a lot because I love the hell out of Brood War. I think this, on every level, is as good, if not better, than Brood War. And some people want to say sacrilege because Brood War is like a really high-respected game over the last 15 years. But this, in my opinion, kept it up to that, if not better. On top of the campaign being about... It took me about 15, 16 hours.
I would agree.
And I wasn't going for all the challenges or anything like that. I was mostly just seeing if I could get to the story fast enough to watch the Nationals and then try to play some multiplayer.
Now, granted, Rusty and I haven't gotten into any multiplayer yet because we're literally sharing one machine to run it because his machine's the only one that can. But... I would check out with the campaign what I've played through so far and his thoughts because he actually got to finish the campaign today. Yeah, I would say you're spot on with that. I mean, Brood War was great. It was great. It set the bar for everything.
Well, it set the bar for strategy games and to see the level of play that you see with competitive gaming with StarCraft.
But the storyline integration in Heart of the Swarm was much more seamless than it was with Brood War.
One thing I've shown Trent is, I mean, they've overhauled the graphics. Obviously, it's Blizzard's art style. It is a StarCraft art style. Things are going to look a little bit cartoony, but Like, they've added a level of detail to the textures on the units themselves, which they didn't have before. And then when it gets to the, wouldn't call them cinematics, but when it pulls back to the story elements that aren't exactly total cinematic.
Inter-character interaction for everyone who's not completely without grammar.
Well, yeah. Well, if you played Wings of Liberty, you know that you'd go on the ship, Raynor would talk with different people on the ship, engage in conversations, make decisions, and choose different upgrades for your units. Same thing kind of goes along with this. You have different missions to test out different mutagens. And during those missions where you're talking to the different Zergs, different,
yep,
like the Brood Queen and everybody else, they look on par with something like Mass Effect 3. And it's not like it is pre-rendered to a degree. But it's something that Blizzard hasn't done before. Like with Diablo, it was just cut to cinematic, like Blizzard cinematic, go back to gameplay. This kind of had like a mid-level cinematic, and then it had like an ultra-level cinematic. The ultra level cinematics were on par with something that you would see on the big screen, whereas the like totally beautifully rendered CGI graphics. But the mid level stuff is actually what impressed me, just the level of detail on Kerrigan. The game's very focused on Kerrigan, and I won't give away any spoilers because there's some really cool shit that happens. But she looks really, really good.
They finally fully flesh out her story, guys. You'll love it.
And her boobs.
Yeah.
Well, we know what you pay attention to.
No, I really listened to the there. Yeah, fuck it, whatever. gotta try to be deep there, but never mind.
But I mean, overall, I mean, the mechanics of the game are really tight. The story missions are really fun. They got some replayability. You can obviously go back and do certain challenges to get better rankings with your missions. And then, of course, there is the multiplayer component, which I don't know if I'm going to ever consider myself to be a ranked player because I don't practice 10 hours a day like these guys that do in the tournaments do, but I might be convinced to go with like a casual tournament or something like that, play some casual matchmaking games, and then...
Oh, they do the
Gamers. Some bronze tournaments.
Yeah.
Yeah, OK Gamers does their little stuff every year. I think... I don't remember if we're on their Facebook, but they're on mine, so...
Matt was telling me there's a bar in town that does Barcraft.
Oh, really?
Where they watch StarCraft, and you can watch StarCraft on the TV like you do, like, going to Wild Wings and watching football.
Which bar?
I'm not sure. But he was telling me next time he goes, he's going to invite me. You're more than welcome to come along.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. Pick out some gamer girls.
Yeah. Well, it'd just be interesting to do something like, I don't ever watch, you know, professional sports for the most part.
That's almost the same as, going to a bar to watch the big Super Bowl game.
Or watching, the big Sunday game or something like that. Yeah, watching StarCraft.
So if you're watching StarCraft games, everybody's playing some bets, crying and screaming. Yeah.
But, there's some really cool things that happen. It's really entertaining to watch. I'm, from what I've experienced, like I said, I've drank a pretty full cup of StarCraft. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it, like, I really can't find anything wrong right now. I may give StarCraft, it's getting close to a 5 if I play the multiplayer and enjoy that too. There is one interesting thing, and I mentioned it last week. There's a component in multiplayer where you can actually take a game back. So say you fuck up royally. You know that in 4.5 minutes you fucked up royally with your build order, or you fucked up because you built barracks here when you really should have been investing your resources in marines or medevacs or whatever.
Yep.
You can tune the game back, get your opponent's permission, tune the game back to that point and say, if I played from this point, I think I could win. But of course, your strategy is going to change or whatever, and so are theirs, but it gives you a second chance, which is something that I thought was really unique to any game, really. I mean, not that that kind of thing hadn't been done before, but it hasn't really been done in a strategy game, especially nothing that's been this competitive.
Yeah, not since Time Crisis.
Or Sands of Time.
No, do you remember Time Crisis, the old arcade game?
Oh, where you use
the pedal. Use the pedal. Man, I was good as shit at that game.
That was a fun game. Yeah.
You used to go up to the arcade and play it all the time.
Yeah, they used to have it at Bell's Amusement Park. Out there, and I used to play it.
It's like 50 cents or...
Yeah, it's fun.
It might have been $1 back then.
I think it was $1,
Spent a hell of a lot of quarters on that game.
Yeah, that one in Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Yeah.
The arcade game was one of my favorites, and X-Men, the arcade game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I actually spent a couple of Christmas ago, I picked up X-Men the arcade for Xbox.
Yeah.
Played it with my brother, actually, on Christmas morning. It was actually really fun.
I remember when I was a kid,
It was a good port.
Yeah. But when I was a kid, I remember going to the arcade with... My mom was dating this guy, and... we were actually at the movie theater to see a movie, and they had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles there. And he went off and he got like $10 in quarters. And I sat there and just played the shit out of that arcade game. I think I ended up spending like maybe $6 or $7, but made it all the way through the entire Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game. And I was like, all right, I'm satisfied. We can go watch the movie now. So it's really actually not that long. So it's just fun.
I'm going to kind of wrap up with Heart of the Storm and kind of move on to you, Trent. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of really mixed reviews on Survival Instinct. And I wanted to get kind of an... I know that you're still kind of in the honeymoon phase, but I know that you just... How much have you played? I'm six hours in. And you still haven't beaten it?
No.
Does it feel like you're getting to the end, or...?
No.
Okay.
Really doesn't. I'll start with
My skepticism...
I've read the reviews. I have read a lot of the reviews.
So, okay, well, and I just wanted to see if you could counter any of it.
And I've also read a lot of the community feedback on Steam, so I know what they're saying as well.
Well, so. One thing I was going to ask you about, because I was afraid it's going to be a cash grab on a popular franchise, and that's what I was afraid of.
That's what I was afraid of, too, but I went ahead and took the risk, which I normally don't. But I was like, hey, I've got the $50.
You already did it with Alien, so I'm just...
Yeah, well, so did you.
Yeah, we both just...
Yeah, I'm glad I waited for you two to get it, because...
Ultimately, it's not a horrible, horrible game.
It's just a bad Aliens game.
It's just the story is so bad. But the gameplay sometimes is actually kind of fun. The multiplayer is actually kind of fun.
It's just...
Gameplay was an improvement over past Alien games, though.
Well, it's like...
I don't know, I thought the AI sucked.
Well, Alien versus Predator... Yeah, the AI wasn't fantastic. But Alien versus Predator, the 2011 one or whatever that came out... That one wasn't that bad. That actually was a really good game.
Yeah, that one wasn't bad if you were playing an alien.
Yeah.
Predator and Marine in that one were at an extreme disadvantage.
Yeah, well, Marine was just such a short campaign. Predator was kind of short. Alien, though, was actually fun to play as for the most part. Yeah. And the multiplayer looked great. It actually looked really good. It's just the lighting dynamic. You know, the lighting really sucked. You couldn't really hide anywhere. Yep. You couldn't do any stealth attacks. It just wasn't designed properly. And the new one, they actually got the alien down right, where rather than... I remember the old one, you had to like hold left button and jump in order to jump onto walls and stuff. And this one, you can just jump and you'll automatically jump onto a wall and you'll move around. You can press your right button trigger, I think, and you'll actually automatically jump to the ceiling for quick escapes, which is kind of nice. But anyways, with Walking Dead,
yeah,
I bought it at the last minute, and I was like, all right, you know, I'm going to buy this, fuck it, you know. And I installed the thing. And anyways, I started playing it, and it's ultimately not really a bad game at the very beginning. It starts up, and of course, everybody knows it's Daryl and Merle Dixon.
Right.
It's the prequel to the TV show. It has nothing to do with the comic, because there was really no hardcore backstory for him.
Well, I was going to say, Daryl wasn't in the original comic.
Yeah. This is just all about... the show. That's right. The thing. And a lot of people bitched about that, saying, you know, they're going on about, oh, well, you know, a fucking game that's only about the show, it's not true to the comic. You're like, there wouldn't be a fucking game.
Well, Daryl had a crossbow, and he's a pretty interesting character on the show.
Yeah, no, I like Daryl Dixon. Well, there's a lot of story between him and Merle that they kind of hint at, you know, from before the show even started. And this kind of covers all that. What were we going to say?
Well, and I know that a lot of comic people get peed off at the show, but guys, you gotta remember that Kirkman really wanted the show to be different than the comic.
Yeah, he wanted to expand on what he had.
Well, we've talked about it. There's some things in the comic that would have really sucked on the show.
Yeah, there was some crap in there that was just really too cheesy. And he wanted to make it more was it more prime time friendly and dramatic.
Not only that, it was like he said, the show gave him the opportunity to expand on characters that he didn't expand on in the comic.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, the show has some really darker elements to it at times than the fucking comic book has.
Rick's been really cool.
Rick is really very interesting.
Yeah, they dialed back the gore where the comic got ultra gory, and they added a little bit of a darker element to it. Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, I really love the show. I really do, and that's one of the reasons I decided to go and grab the game. I was like, fuck it, I'm going to grab it. But anyways, the game starts off, and it's basically, you know, this is the first 30 minutes of the game was leaked the day before it came out, so this isn't a big surprise. And we all knew that it started off basically right when the infection starts, and it's... Daryl is up in the woods with his dad and some friends, and they find out about the biters and all that crap, and he starts heading, the first part is you heading down to a different city to get Merle. And the way the game works is it's first-person shooter, of course. Lots of melee involved. You really want to focus on melee because it's silent takedowns. I only use a gun if I get into a really shitty situation, and even then it's a fucking pump-action shotgun. A lot of people were bitching about the fighting mechanics with how you deal with zombies. I don't have a problem with it, and I think it's because people are taking their sweet time. They're not strategizing how they're doing it. And yeah, it is a situation where if you get one zombie, you can handle it. If you get two, you might get fucked. If you get three, you're probably going to die. They actually made it pretty dangerous. Realistic. Well, pretty dangerous. They hit for a lot, and they will just crowd up on you, and they will not let go. I mean, you can keep hitting them and stuff, but it's really hard to get them off of you. But the way I do it is I lure one of them out, if I even want to fight him. I lure one out, I run out. As soon as he gets far enough away from the others, I come up, and I just fucking straight up punch him. And when he's staggered, go around the back of him and do an insta-kill. And now I'm free to take out the next one without having to worry about it.
You got past using the knife?
Huh?
You gotten past using
the knife? Oh, I have a whole bunch of weapons now. I just prefer to use the knife.
Like
it's,
over the sledgehammer? Or?
Yeah, I tell you. Well, one, the sledgehammer, the axe is really great because it's a one-hit kill. The only problem is, you can do the sneak attack with a knife because it's a constant weapon you have. So even if you have the axe equipped, you're gonna be able to pull the knife out to do an instant kill. I just prefer carrying the knife because your inventory is limited. Whenever you go into a town, you have like 10 slots. So anything extra you carry, you might have to throw it away if you find something worth a damn. I'd rather just leave it in my main inventory in case I ever really know, unless I know I'm going to need it, or I'll equip it onto one of my other survivors. And this comes down to what I was talking about with the mechanics. Yeah, sorry, with the way that the game is set up, is you start the game off, and it's basically you choose your path. It says you can go to this town or this town. It gives you a little bit of bio about what's going on there and what's going on here. Tells you the risk level of going there, stuff like that. You choose which way you want to go. You go there, and now it says, do you want to take, you know, streets, back roads, or highways? And it tells you the gas consumption for each one, the risk of a breakdown, and the likelihood of finding supplies along the way. So now you have to choose which way you want to go there. Highway, of course, consumes less gas. Back roads consumes a lot. Streets consumes minimum. Sorry, about a medium. And say you take the streets, because there's a medium chance of running into supplies, you start going down, and it'll show you driving down the map while it's playing some radio or something like that. You're hearing national news, whatever, and then it'll just stop before you get there, and it says, you've come across a campsite. You can scavenge the campsite for supplies, or you can go and keep driving. You say, I want to scavenge. You get out, you go into your supply bag, you pick what tools you want to bring with you, what weapons and stuff, and supplies, and then you can also... and that one, you can't do anything else other than just go in, kill some zombies, get all the gas you can, all the MREs, all the energy drinks, whatever you find, get back to your car and take off and continue down. Sometimes you run into three different pit stops along the way if you're taking the slower route, because there's more chances of doing that. If you're on the highway, you have a higher chance of breaking down, at which point you're fucked. You got to find another car, fix your car, whatever. When you finally get to your destination, and here's the fun part, when you get to your destination, you do the same thing, you get out of your car, you have an objective you need to complete, and you go ahead and you outfit yourself, but you have your survivors with you, which you've handpicked along the way. You'll find somebody and say, hey, I'll go with you if you help me. And if you help them, they'll be at your car when you leave, and when you get to your next destination, you can outfit them with weapons and a purpose. So you say, I want you to go find gas, I want you to find food, or I want you to find ammo. And it'll tell you the likelihood of their success. And the more people you send with them, the more likely they're going to succeed, or the more strong and cautious of a player they are, the more likely they're going to succeed. And it tells you a personality about them. Like, this guy's a pharmacist. He's very stealthy, but he's really weak. This guy is an engineer. He prefers shotguns, and he's reckless. So he's probably going to die. The only problem is you have to use all your equipment and all your supplies to heal them and to outfit them. So they're taken out of your rations. Anything you find for yourself, you gotta use on them as well. If I send somebody out to go get supplies and they come back and they've got like 20 health, I'll just say, dismiss. And fucking leave them in that town and move forward. If you find another survivor and you're in a two-seater car, you have to get rid of one of your survivors in order to fit them in the car, which I thought was kind of cool. So you really
have to... What if you have a pickup? Can you put them in the back?
If you're in a pickup, I think you have 3 open seats. I can't remember. You start off in a pickup. I have a police squad car right now, and that can fit 3 other people plus me. And then I have an SUV that can fit 3 other people, but it has less inventory slots, and that's another thing. The vehicles have their own inventory slots.
Nice.
So it really kind of, you say, oh, well, this car gets better gas mileage, but I can only carry this many things, while this one gets a little bit worse gas mileage, but I can carry a whole bunch of extra stuff. So it's this real detail down to the level as to what you're doing, but that's all just the backbone to it of how it all works. When you actually
What's the actual execution of all this?
The actual execution is you send your people off to their thing. You never see them when they're in the town because they're off doing their own thing. You, on the other hand, you're in the town, wherever you are. The town layouts are very Walking Dead, what you expect to see, you know, TV show. Yeah, it's like these small towns out in Georgia. You're staying away from the major cities. I'm hoping that eventually the game will lead me to Atlanta, because that would just be pretty fucking awesome. Because I showed you that one scene where I climbed up on the back of that oil truck and there was like 30 fucking undead just swarming towards it. It was really cool. There's actually a town I got to later on that had twice as many as that in one area, just standing around outside this movie theater while a guy was sniping at car alarms, trying to kill people by setting off car alarms nearby. And that was a pretty shitty fucking level. But, because like you'd be walking along, all of a sudden you hear, beep, 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 you know, and you're like, oh, motherfucker, you know, all these zombies start walking over to the car.
So, let me stop you for a second. Yeah. I want to kind of direct you on your review here. What do you like about it?
What I like about the game, I actually don't mind the fighting mechanics because I'm actually good at it. Because people are just, they're going to
too hardcore?
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I see these people...
Well, like this versus like Dead Island.
Dead Island was something that even the fighting mechanics on that people bitched about.
Well, but how do you feel about... I like Dead Island's fighting mechanics.
Yeah, it took time to get used to, but you got used to it and you got good at it. I see people an hour after the game came out bitching about the fighting mechanics. I'm like, dude, get used to it. It took me 2 hours to get used to it and form a strategy, and now I actually don't mind them. I fucking punch something, get behind it, fucking stab it in the head, move to the next one. Yeah, they're not bad. The using axes and stuff, of course, you know, it's like your swing with a weapon depends on the weight of the weapon, as you would imagine. There's no stamina bar really, although they mentioned stamina. I haven't noticed it other than when you're running, you run out of breath pretty fast. But it's not that bad when it comes to the fighting. It really isn't.
So, but what do you like about it?
Nothing, really, that would be anything different than any other game.
Well, I mean, so name 3 things you like.
3 things I like would be shoving a knife into the head of a zombie from behind them, straight through the brainstem, or through the top of the head and then cracking their neck. That's pretty fun. I like that. I do like the wide assortment of weapons, because you can... pick up a wide assortment like a police baton, lead pipe, sledgehammer, axe, knife, and they all have their different, you know, kind of handicaps to them, but they do some massive fucking damage. And in the combat system, I do like the fact that if you're not careful with what you're doing, you are going to get fucked. If you fight 1 zombie, you're fine. 2, if you know what you're doing, you'll do okay. You're still going to get hit. But 3 of them and you can get fucked. And they put you in situations where you'll just be walking down a hallway and fucking 10 of them just come pouring out of a room on you. So they want you to basically get fucked.
Okay, then we turn it around. Name 3 things that you don't like.
You can't really kick.
Okay.
Dead Island had the feature of kicking, which is great. Because my favorite thing to do is run up to a zombie, jump, and kick them to knock them down, turn around and take out his friend, and then come back over and beat him to a fucking bloody pulp. So that way I could handle more than
1 or 2. Well, and Left 4 Dead always had the melee option or the push option with your weapon.
Yeah, and you could actually knock them down. And this one, you can't really knock them down. You just keep knocking them and knocking them. They just stumble. That's it. That kind of sucks. The combat is... there's a very narrow window for actually executing what you're wanting to do properly. I think is the right way of saying it. You know, they have a big... reticle on the screen, and you have to aim at their fucking head when you're fighting them, because if you just, you can hit their arm, and if you miss, and you'll chop their arm off, and they're still going to come at you. You can chop both their fucking arms off if you want, they're still going to start trying to bite you. I can see where a lot of people will bitch about that, because it's a big fucking sight.
Yeah.
But people still seem to have a problem hitting a zombie in the fucking head. I think that has more to do with them. It's not a gamepad game.
But you play it on mouse and keyboard. That would make it a whole lot more true to form to actual.
It's actually
zombie,
it's challenging.
Killing.
It can be, yeah, exactly. And I don't mind it so much.
Well, it still seems like you're justifying a little bit. Give me a
No. I just say it's a mouse and keyboard game. That's one thing. That's what I'm trying to aim at. Is
okay.
I do like playing some games on PC with gamepad. This one I can't do.
What about, so name a couple other things that you don't like.
That I don't like. Graphics aren't a really huge thing for me, but I would have liked to have seen the graphics be done just a little bit higher res, make them look a little bit nicer. Sometimes they look really good in certain lighting, and that's a huge thing, is at night things can look really good. During the daytime, they're a little washed out and they're kind of bland. A lot of repeated patterns for grass and stuff like that. It's kind of whatever. I would have liked to have seen them do a better job on that.
And name one more thing.
One thing that I hate.
Yeah, you don't necessarily
hate. There's another thing I don't like. It suffers from Dragon Age 2 with the dungeons. When you're traveling, those randomized stops where you can go and pillage someplace, I've done that six or seven times. No, I think six times. No, five, sorry. I've done that five times. And I've been to the same places twice for two of the locations. There's a diner with a cabin house across the street from it. I've been to twice in two different counties. And then there's a campsite I've been to twice in two different counties. That, I kind of hated that they recycled the pit stops. They could have gone a little bit. I mean, you go to some of the main levels, and they're pretty cool. There's a motel on the highway you run into that's actually pretty cool because it's nighttime. It's one of the first night levels you run into. It's actually pretty cool. I wish they would have done a little bit more on these pit stops, kind of like how Dragon Age didn't do a whole lot for their dungeons in Part 2.
So just more variety.
More variety would have been nice. Really would have been.
I guess, so the reason I'm giving you a little bit of a hard time is I read about four or five reviews. I tried to get the high and the low end.
Yeah.
Some people saying it's not the best game in the world, it's kind of mediocre, but it's not like as bad as like some. I know one reviewer said it's the worst game he's played all year.
Yeah.
I've read reviews where people bitch about the mechanics, the repetition of the zombies. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying. Like, for somebody to invest $50, are you saying right now, wait till it's on sale?
Or? Yeah, no, I would say wait till it's like $30. For me, I read a lot of the reviews last night after I actually finished playing. I was up till like 2:30 in the morning. I finished playing at 1:50, and I spent 40 minutes reading reviews on community as well as on websites.
Well, and I'm just saying, satisfied what those other people are going to probably read that listen to us.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's your counterpoint to some of that, or what do you...
Here's my counterpoint is, when I was looking through the community reviews, a lot of the people who read on there had played the game for an hour.
Well, and that's not fair.
No, that's really not fair. And they're just bitching to bitch because it's like, well, I thought it would look better, so now I hate the game. And that's what I fucking despise, because it's these younger kids who grew up with the age of PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. You know, Hybrid Heaven, one of the shittiest looking games, is still one of my fucking favorites. It's one of the shittiest looking fucking games. It's a great fucking game, though. Knights of the Old Republic looks like shit nowadays, but it's still one of my favorite games because it's fun to play.
Well,
it's got a good story.
I love Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah, these are shitty games when it comes to look, but they have such great story and they're really fun to play. And games like that, I still buy a lot of indie games on Steam that suffer from that same thing. And the reason why they're really kind of under the radar is because people don't. They look more for the graphics than anything else. That's what a lot of people were bitching about, were the graphics. I knew the game was going to be about one gen back, which I was fine with. It's not horrible, but it's not good. It's the in-between road.
It's not Dead Island or Left 4 Dead or Resident Evil, but it's not.
It's not complete shit either. It's pretty basic for what it is. I don't mind it so much. The story, it fits along the lines of what they do in Walking Dead. They bring up a lot of stuff that you kind of wonder about in the show, you know, just things here and there. A lot more backstory between the Dixon brothers, which is kind of cool. And I did like that a lot, that they're keeping with that. And also they have the two actors playing the Dixon brothers in the game, which I also enjoy, because I hate it when they do a TV or a movie game and they get somebody completely different to do the voice.
Right, yeah, Norman Reedus is still doing Norman Reedus.
Yeah, he's still doing Reedus.
What's his name, Rutger Hauer?
No, it's not Rutger Hauer.
Or what the fuck is his name?
I can't remember his name. But yeah, he's doing Merle.
Yeah, so. Merle's been around a long time. I can't remember
his name. Yeah, he's an actor that's been around a really long time. But now, they've kept with that. I'm trying to think if there was anything really particular that... Oh yeah, there's a lot of jump. They actually did a pretty good job at some of the make you kind of get nervous moments. They do a good job at setting a scene when you're going down a hospital corridor and you're coming out checking the doors to see which ones are unlocked, and you come, oh, here's a door, and as soon as you walk out to it, boom, it breaks up and someone just fucking grabs you, and you have to play this little game where you gotta center it up into the head and stab him right in the fucking head. And so they do a good job at just kind of making you jump here and there. These people... the crashing issue. I read a whole bunch of people saying, I can't get the game to work, it keeps crashing. I have not had the game crash once on me. I don't know. And it's funny because, like, the last three games that we've purchased, everybody bitches about crashes, yet I don't think you or I have had any issues with crashing. Tomb Raider, I think you might have had a couple issues.
Not really. That game had some issues that were addressed in the patch that came out a week afterwards.
Yeah.
But me and you kind of universally said that game's pretty good.
Yeah, I've had not had one single crash problem with that game. And Walking Dead, I'm running on Windows 8, and for it to run on Windows 8 without any crashing issue, you know, and everybody else is bitching, I'm like, well, what the fuck are you running on? Windows ME? I mean, what the fuck?
Because let's face it, nothing runs on Windows 8 without crashing.
Yeah, this one runs on fucking Windows 8 without crashing. The only problem I have, as something I brought up earlier, is the frame rate. At the frame rate at 60, the game runs fine. It's just it seems to twitch a little bit when you go in between inside and outdoor environments for some reason.
Yeah.
So I dropped it down. It has a... It gives you an option between 30 and 60 to do a frame rate lock. So I dropped it down to 30, and it stopped doing that. And I think that has more to do with the game itself. There might just be an issue with that they'll probably patch and fix. My only thing I will agree with some of the community people is that for $50 for a licensed game, they really should have included the DLC pack, which I think was the guns pack, and herd mode, which is like horde mode, I think, but with zombie herds. They should have kind of included those, I think.
Or at least next-gen graphics.
I think if somebody actually took the time to... If they would take the time to actually write a good story... For a game that's based on a movie or TV show and actually put time... I mean, they make so much fucking money off the goddamn show.
Well, I mean, Telltale did a fantastic job with the game based off the comic.
Yeah, and even the graphics are based off the comic, and that's why it wasn't such a huge deal on the graphics. It still made it look good, though. This one, had they taken the time to make the graphics look good, atmospherically it would have been fantastically awesome. And there's still the chance somebody could skin it very easily, like they've done with Skyrim, and that's if there's somebody who's a big enough fucking fan to do it. Of course, Aliens, you know, we already had people doing lighting, you know, kits and texture updates. So we'll see what happens with Walking Dead. And this is another reason why I buy on PC a lot of the time when it's a game I'm not sure about. It's because even if the game sucks,
somebody's going
to
mod it.
Yeah, somebody can do something to fix it and make it cool. Because they could build their own levels and just have a level where it's just nothing but zombies attacking the shit out of you.
Well, this brings me back to Dark Souls. I mean, Dark Souls.
Dark Souls. Dark Souls.
That looks great on PC as long as you got the patch.
I do think it's a Dark Souls.
I'm going to tag this one as Dark Souls again.
Yeah, Dark Souls again. Yeah, Dark Souls. I love Dark Souls.
I found some really good Dark Souls t-shirts at work today.
Nice.
And the guy that's going to be on here next week. Just random
distraction. Are these the same ones you were telling me about?
Yeah, well, there's a Ceaseless Discharge shirt that's out of print right now that a really small company called Meat Bun does that looks like a fucking heavy metal t-shirt.
We're talking about that.
Yeah, nice.
I made that joke about that's why I call my orgasms the Ceaseless Discharge.
Yeah.
I got more of a laugh out of him than I got out of you or Drew.
Well, so. I was going to say there's that. There's a couple of Praise the Sun t-shirts that are really
nice,
cool.
Nice, nice. Yeah, Solari.
I found one that's a picture of Fat Boy and Slim, and it just says "You died." It's their silhouette, which I think I'm going to get just because I had such a hard time with that battle.
Orenstein and whatever his name is. Yeah,
yeah.
I hate those fuckers.
So fucking hard.
You try every time I go in there. I'm like, okay, I'm going to kill the fat one first. I'm trying to kill the fat one, and before I know it, freaking Solaris has already dropped the fucking skinny one. I'm like, ah, oh, you just fucked me. And all of a sudden, big fat boy gets lightning power. But I figured out a good strategy for him to stay away.
Actually, that's like how that. I did it. I killed the skinny one first, then went for the fat one.
The skinny one?
Because I think you get armor out of that.
I don't know, because every time Solaris just ends up dropping the fucking skinny one. Because the skinny one will go right after him. He'll fuck around with him for a little bit while I'm beating up Fat Boy or keeping him busy. He'll come over and start trying to pick a fight with me, and I'm like, no, fuck off. you know? And it just sucks. I have to jab him a couple times to get him to get away from me. So... But yeah, Dark Souls.
Yeah. So, moving on a little bit, there is a game that I definitely want to spend a little bit of time on.
Oh, what? With Walking Dead, though, next week I should have my full summation.
You'll be out of the honeymoon phase, you'll have your full objective review at that point.
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying the game, I'm not going to lie, I am enjoying it. I'm not getting tired of it. Yeah, the zombies are kind of repetitive, but I mean, hell, even Left 4 Dead... And 1 and 2, the zombies are kind of fucking repetitive. So
if they could mix it up from town to town, that would help.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so you'll get your full review on that. I'm going to say, honestly, right now, Heart of the Swarm is sitting at almost a 5 for me.
Yeah.
Like a hair under a 5.
I can agree.
This one's right now sitting about a 3. So...
that's more fair than a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I'm giving it that just because I like zombie games, and it there's some really challenging parts in it where there's quite a number of fucking zombies, and like I said, they are deadly as shit.
One, let's face it, if they've made it as hard to kill the zombies as you say they have...
Well, it takes three really strong hits to the head.
That's what we've always asked for in zombie games anyway.
Yeah. Make them difficult to beat up and make it to where you don't want more than fucking one on you. If you get two of them on you, you can get fucked really bad. So
that being said, I want to talk about something that Jason and me have played a little bit of, and I've touched on Gears of War Judgment.
Yep.
And I haven't played any of the multiplayer. I haven't had time to be honest with you. I picked it up last night. I couldn't find a midnight pre-release, which was kind of weird for Gears of War. But talking with the people at the store that I go to, she said she had like 80 pre-orders for it, so I guess they did alright. Mm. It's a little different not having Marcus, I will say that much.
It is.
You start off as Baird. It's kind of like, and I won't go into this too much to spoil into the story for those that are really hardcore Gears fans, but basically, it's a tribunal that's going on, and you're going through each of these different characters' stories as the tribunal continues. So there's somebody, there's a group of characters that you're playing with, and they're telling
a
story.
This is a treason trial, isn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're kind of questioning their motives, but anyways, there's like a big tribunal going on, and each of these people are telling their story of how things unfolded from their perspective, and as that happens, you play one of those characters. Now, one of those guys is Baird, and... Is Coltrane the other guy? No, it's not Coltrane. It's, he's been in the games before, but I can't remember his name.
Yeah. He died in 2, and I can't think of his name right now.
Well, anyways, long story short, you got a choice between 3 big fellas and 1 actually fairly feminine-looking girl, for once, in a Gears game. She doesn't look like a dude with long hair and a frail face. She's actually quite a bit smaller than the other Gears. But, so it kind of plays that out. It also does something different than the other Gears games where you have... Gears has always been kind of arcadey when it came to, like, how you played and how things came out. You always got rewards and ribbons and things like that for how you played each level. What, since 2? Or has it only been since 3?
No, not since 2.
So, you can get these challenge modes. Like, there was one, like, kill all the Cerepede eggs. If you don't kill all the Cerepede eggs, then you're going to get a constant swarm of Cerepedes. Now, Cerepedes, for those of you that are uninitiated, are giant armored centipedes where you can only shoot the ass. And I tried the challenge mode on that one first and then found out that I had 4 of those fuckers on me on top of the fucking, what are the little guys that blow up? I can't remember what they're called.
These things are like
tickers.
Dropping the soap in the jail shower. Just saying.
Yeah, so you have the tickers that are hitting you on top of the fucking Cerepedes, and it made it extremely difficult. I wasn't able to beat that challenge, so I went back and restarted that. but it makes all these really compact, quick stories. Like, each of these levels could be played in about 5-10 minutes.
Yep.
And I played through, I want to say, about 15 of them. So I played through about 2.5 hours or something worth of gameplay. And it's, so far, it's been fairly enjoyable. It is, again, kind of weird not having Marcus. The cool thing, though, was having a download code for one, which I don't have anymore. So, well, I can grab that again, and then there's a, look like a prelude to one that happens after you beat the game.
Well, and it's also nice that they're starting to give you a little bit of the story for the other characters.
Like, whereas, you really didn't know what happened to Marcus when you first started. I mean, you kind of got it after the, playing it a while, but, like, he just basically starts off in jail.
Right, but, I mean, more to the point of, 1, 2, and 3 were pretty much Marcus-centric. You look at the games overall.
They're all about Marcus Phoenix.
And they're all about Marcus Phoenix. And now you're getting to see a little bit more of what makes the other people tick. So far, I've only gotten Baird, but, you know, you kind of get to see a little bit of what made him the sarcastic asshole that, at least I know for sure that Trent and I can kind of relate with a little bit there.
Yeah. A little less cheesy, though.
But yeah. Well, there's I don't know. You get pretty cheesy sometimes. Just so.
There's a lot of cheese.
Only when
in the
I
game.
Don't wipe.
There's a lot of cheese in the game, but like overall, I mean, if just looking at the basics, I mean, the graphics look fantastic for a 360 game.
Oh yeah.
The
oh,
combat's really tight. The challenges have been fairly fun. The ones that I can beat, like there's one that was do this level with just shotguns. Yeah. And that was actually pretty damn challenging. Well,
some of the challenges are going to be co-op centric.
Yeah.
You're going to have somebody co-oping with you to get through the challenge. But that's classic war. That's classic Gears.
Well, me and you have played some Gears together. I'd like to play, if you get the time later on this week, to do some of the co-op shit with you and Rusty. I don't know, did Rusty pick it up?
Yeah, he picked it up. In fact, that's how we both played it.
Oh, you guys just co-oping through it?
No, we, because we had so many games to catch up on at the end of the year, both of us just kind of played one while the other played the other, and
swap back and forth.
Vice versa, yeah.
That's fair. I mean, overall, I'm talking a lot here, Jason. What do you, like, I'm unsure of what to think about the game. It's been enjoyable so far, but I don't know if I'm going to end up liking these characters as much as I like Marcus.
Right.
Even though Marcus was basically Wolverine, in the words of John from Carousel. That's what he always called Marcus, was fucking Wolverine. But after you get past that fact, like, I really wasn't a big fan of Gears 1. Gears 2 is an okay fan. Gears 3 fucking sold the shit out of me, though. And that's what I'm going to be holding this up to. I'm going to be holding it up to Gears 3, because Gears 3 is a good game.
Right.
Well, and not the others aren't, but Gears 3 is a fucking superb game.
Well, and let's face it, you have to sit back and look at it as, how many expansions have you played outside of any expansions for Skyrim that really lived up to what the original game was? So, looking at it from an expansion, I'm going to say right now, even though I've only played about an hour of it, it keeps going on the track it's going on, I'll give it for an expansion, I'll give it a 4.
Yeah.
It keeps going, I mean...
I think what it really boiled down to is Gears 3's Horde mode was so intuitive and so good. Like, I've played hours upon hours upon hours of Gears 3 Horde mode. It's been one of our Gauntlet games of choice, just because I know I can get on there with 4 buddies and 4 people who want to play, and I'll be on there all fucking night. I mean, it's the Gauntlet game that we go from, like, 10 o'clock till 2 or 3 in the morning.
I agree. But at the same time, you know, there's only so much you can fit into an expansion. So, stepping back and looking at it that way...
I know where you're coming from with the word expansion. Not to confuse it with anything else.
Not to confuse it with anything else, but when you look at it, they've released it fairly soon after Gears of War 3. I mean,
2 years.
Yeah, but for their...
For the level
of time that they normally put into a game, though, I mean...
Well, this is... The other thing that worries me is this the first game, and I may be wrong. Nymph will probably correct me. But I know that Cliffy B recently left Epic, so I don't know how much of this is Cliffy B's dream child or not, you know? because he was the one that was behind Gears and Unreal and a bunch of other games.
I don't know. I'm fully willing to give it the chance of, well, you know, the same chance I gave Halo 4. And that is, you know, even Halo 4 starts off a little slow. And as you get into it, you realize
Halo 4 is pretty superb.
You realized more and more just how much justice 343 gave to the series. You know, so even with Cliffy gone, I'm going to give it time before I really tear into it. But well, so far, I'm satisfied.
It would be to me, I guess the reason that I say things like that, it'd be like Mortal Kombat without Ed Boon or fucking Brian. Like, those guys have made that game for a long-ass time. And,
well, look at what happened when they tried it without them. You get DC versus Mortal Kombat Universe.
Well, it was more licensed than anything else, and didn't really play out that well. It was when they tried to do Mortal Kombat in a PG-13 style, which just didn't work out in that type of game. But long story short, what I'm getting at is that's a good example. Like, if you took Mortal Kombat, you took Brian LeBaron and Ed Boon out of it, it would be a really, like, those guys bring the awesome to that fucking franchise. And it's really hard for, I mean, obviously there's been these designers who've been the backbone behind Cliffy B. I'm sure more of his stuff at this point is more high concept tweaking and things like that. I'm sure he's not the one that's getting his hands dirty the majority of the time. It's more like, here's how I want the story to go. Here's the characters I want to focus on. Here's some gameplay elements I want to try. All right, team, go and make this happen. You know, I don't think that Cliffy B, at the level he is as a game designer, has to do the grunt work that you have to in that kind of game.
Well, not only that, it's one of those things. They're building storyline with characters that, like I stated before, were never really focused on in the original three anyway.
They were important side characters that kind of ended up being almost a framework for Phoenix. I mean, it was always about Phoenix, and then it was Phoenix and his father in three. But they were
his support. Without them, he wouldn't have made it all the way through.
And I may be just missing something because I didn't play a lot. I've played one or two in a long time, but I really want to see Coltrane. Coltrane makes that series in a way that it just makes it fun. Just the fucking stupid shit that Coltrane does.
I agree. And, you know, I also want to see, you know, what really happened around that time with Dom and his family.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, kind of bringing things around, I'm going to stay kind of like what I made Trent do, and maybe I'll have you do this. Name three things you like, and then maybe I'll add to that.
Three things I like. I definitely like where the story quality that seems to be leading so far, considering that there's not really a lot to work with before. Of course, the game mechanics are solid as they've always been. As far as combat, and you know, some of those challenge modes are just, they look addicting. I haven't been able to pour into a lot of them yet, but they look freaking addicting.
Try that. I will say three things that I like. Now, I like the Hammer Burst is a semi-auto rifle now.
Oh, yes, great improvement.
I did not like it as a full auto, as slow as it fucking fired. That's cool. I will say that I like the fact they're trying something new with the series with the challenges.
Yep.
And I will also say there's a little bit elements of Horde mode the further you get into it, that you'll find yourself up in areas that feel very much like Horde mode from 2, or I mean from 3, but in a single player challenge. I mean, you could obviously...
I can see that.
I can see. Last thing I will add is the fact that you haven't run into turrets yet, have you?
No, not yet. No.
Right. I won't spoil it too much, but you run into a point where it's not that you're on a turret, but you have automated turrets, kind of like Aliens 2, that can place and reload, which is pretty cool. It helps with the Horde mode waves. That being said, things that I don't like, though, I need to find the story for me is not as strong as I want it to be yet. I just need to know more about it. I need to like these characters a little bit more than I have so far. I will say that some parts of it feel more like more of the same. And I don't like the fact that you have the gun skins again. Not that the gun skins weren't cool, but the purchasable gun skins, I think, was bullshit from 3.
Yeah.
You can earn them now, and that's cool. But just trying to be critical, starting in, I mean, starting in, it's been felt fairly solid as a Gears game. And I won't deny that. Like, I'm just trying to be as critical as I can because I like it so far.
I can agree with the gun skins. As far as everything else, I will fully admit that I have not played enough into it. And I am not one of those freaking haters that will play an hour or 2 hours worth of a game and start bashing it immediately.
Yeah. Well, the last thing I don't like is I don't like that they ended up doing a Gears prequel. I wanted to see them do a new franchise. But
new franchise. They did.
If they improve on Gears 3 and some of the Horde mode mechanics and things like that, I'm going to end up liking it better.
Well, I'm actually relieved that they went back and did a prequel, because you go to turn around a new Gears game that fast with a whole new entry into the franchise, and there's a whole lot of room for error. They need to spend their time and do it right. So, I'm, like I said, to that point, I'm more than willing to give this game a full chance.
So, did I ask you if there were 3 things you didn't like?
No, but I just answered it.
Okay, that's fair. All right. Trent, any thoughts or any questions you have?
Oh, I hated 1.
Yeah?
I played a little bit of 2, and I'm playing 3, and 3 Horde mode, at least, I enjoy the shit out of. It's just, yeah, with Gears of War 1.
Gears of War.
Yeah, sorry. With Gears of War 1, it was too cheesy and kind of stupid and boring for me. But Gears of War's gotten better over the years.
It was cheesy.
Yeah.
It was extremely cheesy, but I will give Gears of War 1 props where it is due in the fact that they actually made the first real game to really make third-person shooting completely viable.
Yeah, for multiplayer or anything, really.
Yeah.
I'd say the melee is better in this than they have been in other games. I mean, also,
the smoothest third-person shooter.
My problem at the time with Gears of War 1 was the cover system, where you just stick to everything as you're moving. That was my big piss-off.
The cover system seems a little more organic now.
They've gotten better with it. They have, yeah.
I mean, you hold B to get behind cover, and you can move between cover, but it's pretty easy to unstick yourself.
Yeah.
But you also have to admit, as far as cover options, though, that was completely groundbreaking.
Yeah, oh no, yeah,
they were going before that.
Oh, they had Killzone before that.
Killzone, but
and they had Dark Sector even brought in the very, was it? It was all context sensitive. They wanted to get rid of as much heads up as they could.
But
and they brought in all the cover stuff where you could hide behind barricades and fling.
Yeah, but I'd say both of those felt clunkier in combat. If you got stuck in a situation with a horde, like you would in Gears of War 1.
Yeah, but now we're jumping into oranges here. We're talking about cover, now you're jumping into combat. So,
I will say cover comes into combat. Yeah, I'm just saying
it. But when you're running down a hallway and all of a sudden you just stick to the side of something, you're like, stop. Yeah.
Now
when
that
you start
is
moving
one
forward, you just wrap around the side of it. You're like, asshole, get away from it.
I will say that in regular movement, it seems like they move a little faster, which is a big improvement. I will say that you have options for executions now without having to do 100 kills with each weapon or whatever it was. Which is really cool. Like the flamer execution is basically anytime you knock them on the ground, you can do an execution.
Yeah.
Yep.
And it's stick the flamethrower in their mouth and shoot fire out of their eyes.
Yep.
Which is pretty fucking brutal. The shotgun execution was to take it and strangle the dude.
Yep.
Break his neck with a shotgun.
But then again, you know, you look at Gears 1, and that is the one thing I absolutely hated, was your armor movement was just clunky. They took it too far.
Yeah, you move like a tank.
Yeah.
You move a little faster now. I've had a lot more success with blindfire shotguns on this than I had before. Like, I used to have a lot of problem with blindfire, and there are times when you're getting surrounded by locusts that you just had a blindfire. Yep. And now I'm feeling really comfortable having the Nasher or the Sawed-Off, because anytime I get close to something, I just pull the fucking trigger, aim for center mass, and just, you know, once I'm at, like, close range, it's usually
shoot if you're
usually
using the
fucking gibbeting right there.
Shoot, if you're using the sawed off, you don't need even center mass. Just get that reticle close and pull the trigger.
But yeah, the shotguns are still really short range, which, I mean, is fine with me, but when you get right up on them, they're deadly as shit.
They are, but at the same time, that's refreshing. Being the one in this group right now who's played a shit ton of Call of Duty,
yeah,
you don't have a pooned shotgun that will shoot as far as most assault rifles.
Right.
And that is refreshing.
Well, we've talked a lot about Gears, a lot about Heart of the Swarm and Walking Dead. I think it's probably time to take a break, don't you think? Mm-hmm. So we're going to take a break. We'll come back with news, and we'll see you guys in a minute. There. Got to talk about some Assassin's Creed, get me a new cup of coffee, and of course jump right back into this. So we talked a lot about a bunch of different things with the different games coming out. Wanted to bring up, kind of take this back to some of the emails and stuff that we've gotten. I do have a question for the week, not surprising, from Ian. So I'm going to go ahead and go through that. He says, to the Nasty One, the Trench Show, the Holly Badger, and contestant number 3. I'm not to save my vote until the end of the competition, so the spirit of the game is not lost. As for my question, you ever met a celebrity who was a complete dick in person?
Yeah.
Have you ever met... So I'm going to come follow up before we answer. Have you ever met a celebrity who is incredibly pleasant in person?
Yeah.
I'll follow up with his story afterwards. So,
right.
Jason. You ever met a celebrity that was a dick?
I've run into Gary Busey a couple times. Those are awkward.
I've heard he's like one or the other.
Yeah, he's in, you know, he will frequent bars around town whenever he's here.
Well, his son lives here, right?
Jake Busey.
Yeah, Jake
Busey. Yeah, Gary Busey is from, like,
Jake lives here. He can be, if he's not drunk yet, he is completely open to fans coming up and talking to him. Once he's been drinking, though, evidently he turns into a complete dick.
Yeah, it sucks because I would love to meet Gary Busey just because...
I want to get a picture with those chompers.
Yeah, I love the Buddy Holly story. That's one of my favorite fucking movies, and he did such a great fucking job.
Yeah, but I think it's more an issue of Gary Busey high is more fun than Gary Busey on alcohol.
Yeah, that's true.
He's got to be completely fucking nuts on alcohol.
Well, you remember the Busey show that he had?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The guy's fucking crazy. And he markets himself.
Dr. Drew ruined Gary Busey for me. Just saying. I gotta say Ted Nugent.
You met Ted Nugent?
Was he a dick?
I have met Ted Nugent, and he is a nice guy. A lot of people think he's a dick because he's heavily opinionated.
Yeah.
But not my...
without a cross.
So what, did you go to a Nugent show?
Yeah. Yeah, I went to a Nugent show.
Did he come out on a vine, swinging in a loincloth?
Did he play Cat Scratch Fever?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I love that
song. Did he have a loincloth and a crossbow?
Granted, it was when I was a kid, so I don't remember.
Well, he's just nice to you by default, a lot of it.
But, my dad and my godfather worked as stagehands up at the Brady.
Okay, well, that makes sense.
And it was like, I think it was the last show he did here. But, yeah, genuinely nice guy. A lot of people gave him a bad rap, but as long as you don't step on his political toes, you're all right.
Don't call Jeezy crazy.
Yeah.
That's fair. You met anybody, well, you said your story. Trent, name somebody who was nice first, then you do it in the dick.
I've got two that were really nice. I mentioned them because they were just super fucking nice. One was the Beach Boys.
You met the Beach Boys? Who did you meet out of the Beach Boys?
They played a show at Driller Stadium. I met the 3 remaining members.
I remember that show.
Yeah. They played at the Driller Stadium, and my grandparents took me because they were friends with the people that ran the PA and set the whole thing. Because my grandparents were big in the orchestra scene here in Tulsa, so they took me to go see them. And I got to meet the Beach Boys, and they were just the night. I was so young at the time. I was like, I think like 8, you know. But
it's obviously something that stuck with you.
Oh, yeah. They were super fucking... It's the reason why I got into the Beach Boys and started listening to Pet Sounds, which is like still one of the best fucking just experimental albums of all time. And with Good Vibrations and stuff like that. But yeah, they are the three remaining that were there at the time were just the nicest fucking guys in the world you'll ever meet. And this is when they came out with that Kokomo song.
Yeah.
So they were trying to do a revival. And they were just super fucking nice. The other one was Bill Murray. So,
yeah, you met Bill Murray?
Yes, I bet he was here for the PGA Tour right up the road.
Oh, yeah, back in 06.
Yeah, actually, yeah. And he would go to that QT right there at the corner all the fucking time to get a soft drink. So, and I met him one time in there. He's the nicest fucking guy you'll ever meet. Now, I've heard stories of him being a dick, but he always apologizes because it's whenever somebody interrupts him when he's doing something personal. Like, I think the main one I read was somebody said that they went out to him during dinner with a friend and asked for his autograph, and he got a little snippy with him, and afterwards he bought their dinner and everything to apologize. But, you know, you just run into a gas station, you just say, you know, hey.
Hey. Fucking Murray.
Yeah.
Ghostbusters.
It's like, it's a Cinderella story. And he's one of the most nicest guys you'll ever meet. He's really nice. As for dicks.
Who's the worst?
The worst would be Jenny Jones. So I was on the Jenny Jones show.
Oh, I remember you.
Yeah. I was on people out there. I was on the Jenny Jones show once, and years ago.
How old were you?
Oh God, man, I was like 22, something like that. 21 or 22. I met Jenny Jones, and she was a bitch. Total fucking bitch. And,
so explain, why were you on the Jenny Jones show?
I was on the Jenny Jones show because I got a little lipid one day and wrote an email to the Jenny Jones show about somebody that was on their show. And they thought it was so hilarious and funny they wanted to bring me on the show to confront this person in a Viewers Confront Past Guest episode because I did so many of those. And I thought, well, fuck it, it's a free trip to Chicago and free booze and food. So I fucking went. Had my fill of calamari and fucking lobster and a whole bunch of fucking booze. I was drunk when I was on the show. And then I took a limo home. So I went to the airport and flew home.
There is one I forgot. Triple H. Believe it or not. those bodybuilding assholes.
I heard most of them were dicks.
He is completely cool.
Oh, he is?
Nice. Yeah.
I thought you were going to go to... Have you ever seen that... Do you watch Curb Your Enthusiasm at all?
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? The one with the pro wrestler?
Yeah.
Where he slashes the guy's tires?
Yeah.
Where he puts Jeff and has put in a punch in the hole in his
head. Yeah, when it comes to pro wrestlers, I would love to meet The Rock. Because I heard he is one of the nicest
guys. I'd like to meet
guys.
The Rock.
I heard he's funny, extremely nice, and just really personable. I've heard he's a really nice guy. Him or Vin Diesel. I've heard both of those guys are super.
Both of those.
I'm going to meet Hulk Hogan. I'm sorry.
Well, Vin Diesel's not a professional wrestler. I bring him up, though, because I've heard he's super fucking nice, too. So.
Yeah. Well, both of those guys' personas are as hard asses. But they're completely, from what I've heard, they're completely opposite.
I have Vin Diesel on my Facebook, and he posts videos from his house of him singing karaoke to stuff like Shania Twain songs. He's not as hard ass. I overlook it. But he's a super cool guy from everything I've heard and everything. By the way, the other worst one was it wasn't the celebrity; it was the celebrity's wife, and that was Steven Tyler's wife.
Oh yeah, because he has roots here too, doesn't he?
Yes, his wife has roots here. His wife is from Bixby. They own a house out there. Liv Tyler, I met her one time.
They're south of 161st, I think.
Yeah, they're right up there. I met Liv Tyler once, and she was super nice. Years later, I was at the mall, and I saw this dude come walking in the mall, and I was like, is that Creepy Tom? Because he looks like Creepy Tom when you see him, because he's got these little glasses on and this big mouth, and you're like, that looks like
Creepy
Tom.
Somebody that we know that.
Yeah.
He looks like an 80s rocker, if you really want to boil it down. He looks...
Well, this is back in, like, fucking 99 or something like that, so this is, you know, when Creepy Tom's a bit younger, and it looked just like in the way he was dressed. I was like, is that Creepy Tom? And my girlfriend was with me. She goes, like, actually, it kind of looks like Steven Tyler. They have a show here this week. I was like, they do? And she's like, I said, holy shit, that's Steven Tyler. So we go walking over there, just kind of casually walking up, and we thought we were the ones who noticed. Also, this huge swarm comes around. And now, this is the justification.
The herd.
His wife was up there at the Indian Spirit store back when it was at Woodland Hills Mall to pick out stuff for their house, and she had asked him to come up there to help him look at some stuff. And just these people came up, and he was being really gracious and nice and signed on. And this woman was like crying, like, oh my God, I love it in the elevator, you know, stuff like that. Living it up. And his wife just stops her misses while she's pleading her case about how much he has helped her through. She goes, like, we're here to shop. We're here as normal, with her hand out. We're here as normal people. We don't appreciate it when people interrupt. It's just like, wow, you could have been a little bit nicer. And he was just quiet the entire time, just like staring off at the fucking skylight. And I was like, you look like a sea monkey.
So basically, he was saying, I'm staying quiet because I want some tonight. So the rest of you are screwed.
Yeah, basically. And I wasn't up there to like, I was off in the back but by the railing just watching.
He is another one of those celebrities that he's so nice to the point that you gotta keep him from going off on a tangent with you.
Yeah.
Like Creepy Tom.
Like what?
Like Creepy Tom.
Yeah, like Creepy Tom, yeah. I can imagine so. But I'm sure he's super anxious, his wife. She could have handled that a little bit better, a little bit more graciously. Your husband is an American icon, pop culture icon, too. So, you know, deal with that.
Well, not only that, but you're in a relatively small town versus a lot of other towns that they probably frequent.
I would just be like, bitch, you're from Bixby. Shut the fuck up.
Right?
Nobody gives a shit what you say. Fucking tainted water. Why don't you go fuck yourself? Fucking babies born with arms coming out of their heads.
Let's see, I've met a few famous people, and obviously with me and you playing in bands, we had the opportunity to meet a lot.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of others.
I haven't met a lot of really, really famous people. The one that had the most impact is I played a lot of shows in Dallas back 2003, and I got to play a lot with the Reverend Horton Heat.
Nice.
And I got to hang out with Jim and Jimbo the fucking time. And I got hammer shit-faced fucking drunk with Jim and Jimbo. The point where I was a broke college student playing in a band, working my job plus doing my band, trying to just barely make it, and I was living in Dallas and in Tulsa at the same time. And when I'd go to the bar down there, if I saw Jim or Jimbo, I'd buy a couple drinks, and they'd buy me the rest of the drinks the whole rest of the night.
Nice.
So I had a lot of very personal stories with them that were pretty crazy that I probably couldn't share on here. But those guys are fucking solid. Really, really enjoyed my time with them.
Who's the dick? And then I've got a counter question to pose that you and I could probably answer. You might be able to answer. So, go ahead. Who's the dick?
I'd have to think about the dick, to be honest with you. I haven't really met somebody that was...
Who's somebody that you could just tell that I wouldn't want to hang out with them all the time?
Like, I got a pretty good, like, personality filter. I got a good BS filter, which is probably one of the reasons I'm a supervisor.
Yeah.
But, like... When it comes to dicks, like I can kind of see somebody and say that guy's really, really thinks more of himself than he should.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like go to a show or something like that, you know, and see somebody up on stage and think, that's not going to be the guy that I really want to hang out with.
Yeah.
Like, I got an opportunity to meet Marilyn Manson when I was quite a bit younger. And it was like, this guy's full of himself.
Yeah.
Don't want to meet him. Got an opportunity to meet Trent Reznor, too, at the same show. Yeah, I'm not going to go meet Trent Reznor.
Yeah, you kind of have to look down and just be like, sorry, Trent, I don't want to hang out with you.
But no, I shared a smoke with Chris Cornell when I was a teenager.
Nice. Back when he was cool.
Back when he was cool. Back in Soundgarden days.
Yeah, back before Audio Slave.
Yeah, it was one of the, and just started smoking. Not that anybody listening to this should ever smoke, but we all smoke.
Yeah.
But
We're horrible people.
Yeah,
I would say about a month after I'd started smoking, I shared a red with fucking Chris Cornell.
Nice.
I saw him after a show. I had a cigarette, and he asked me if he could have a couple of puffs. He had a couple of puffs, and I started talking music with him, just on stuff that had influenced him before and things like that. And then asked him for a couple of tips on just, you know, how to become a musician and things like that, how to become a professional, because I thought I was going to be a superstar at that point, which obviously didn't happen. But that was pretty cool.
Nice.
I know when I was younger... My dad was really good at taking me to shows. When I was really young, my dad had a 69 SG that he still has that we got Dave Mustaine to sign after a Megadeth show back when I was like fucking 8 years old.
Nice.
I remember Dad didn't really agree with the music, but I saw White Zombie a long, long, long time ago, and he waited. He was my ride. And he didn't agree with me going to the show. He's like, oh, this would be a bad idea. But he waited after the show. I was waiting to see him in the tour bus. and they had ordered, had somebody run out and grab a shitload of fucking Whoppers, and I had a Whopper with Rob Zombie and my dad.
Nice.
So, and he was pretty fucking cool back then. I was like 16 years old. But it was something that kind of made an impact on me. For as cheesy and as shitty as some of his stuff is,
that was before Rob Zombie got full of himself.
Yeah. It was before he was trying to make movies and things like that. And really, the Devil's Rejects is the only movie I like. But
But then again, he's another one of those that, when it comes to the fans, he's just
He's super cool. Yeah, I've heard so.
Well, his White Zombie show was fucking amazing.
Go ahead. You got some more?
Oh, I got plenty of stories of people that were cool. Like I said, I've met a lot of people.
This question goes into that. Yeah. So, counter question is this. Now, he asked, you know, what
story was a dick. I can say somebody who's a dick.
Who?
Ogre.
Oh, Ogre me. He's a fucking junkie fucking asshole. I'm sorry, but yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin Nebeck. Yeah, Kevin. He's a fucking, I've met him and Kevin
Keene. I tried to have a beer with Kevin. Fucking blew me off.
Now, Kevin Key is super nice. He's really cool, real laid back, down to earth. Ogre, though?
Yeah, but let's get Ogre side shit.
Bill Lee. Bill Lee. I never met him, but I already know he's a dick.
I was going to say, counter to that, like, Reese Fulber, I've met him. He's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Met what's his name from HowlJob. He's really
Daniel
fucking
Myers.
Cool.
Yeah, that was going to be part of my next question, so yeah.
I was going to also say Thomas Haig from Meshuggah.
Gary Zahn from Dismantled. Now, as much as I like Dismantled's ingenuity, Gary Zahn is a total fucking pretentious,
way too full
of himself
for
prick.
The size of his band.
Yeah. Well, no. Okay, the first album he put out was great. Second one, fantastic. Even better. Third one, okay, every song is about how you're pissed off.
Yeah, I remember the third
a big
one.
Fan
yeah.
Of you. Yeah, I was like, what the fuck, man?
I'll say the dudes from VNV are also fairly cool.
Ronan is really super fucking nice. When I played that show with them...
It seems like he's always on drugs, but he was always pretty cool.
No, he is a coke fiend, but he's a very smart motherfucker. I will give him that.
I'll say last person I thought was really fucking cool. Billy Corgan.
Oh, yeah.
I had a beer with Billy Corgan at a pub in Chicago a long time ago.
His bar up in Chicago?
I don't know if it was his bar or not. I just went to a little hole in the wall with a buddy of mine, and there's Billy Corgan.
That reminds me... All the guys from 12 Stones, completely solid.
There you go.
But, yeah, I guess the only big bitch I've had is just some of the industrial scene guys, to be honest
with you. Some of the industrial, like, God Module guys were kind of,
It's funny to see somebody with that much ego for guys that are in a subgenre of a subgenre of a subgenre, you know? It's just like...
For those listening...
Well, that's because all those guys are completely convinced that their rock is the rock.
Yeah. But I used to open for a lot of these bands like Beamy Nation, God Module, Attrition, Cut Rate Box, just all these, you know, industrial acts and stuff like that. And Bella Morte, even after, once they stopped being punk industrial and they were just this kind of weird shit, you know, and that was kind of awkward. But anyways, so I got to meet a lot of people. Here's my counter question, which was, who's the coolest celebrity you ever hung out with? And actually, like, what was the funnest celebrity you actually hung out with?
It's hands down, it's Jim from fucking Reverend Horton Heat.
Reverend Horton
Heat. Like I said, plenty of fun drunk stories. The guy's a riot in person. And his buddy Jim, again, like, aside from the music, just hanging out with them at their local bars, those guys are fucking solid.
Nice. Hoosiers?
Nice. To be honest, I think the only one I ever really hung out with was Nuge, but like I said, I was young, I don't remember most of it, but really, since I've reached adult age, never really ran into anybody other than the casual, you know, like...
See somebody on the street or after a show coming.
Right. Like, I go to the same spot to buy a lot of my sports gear as Garth Brooks does.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure, you can have a 10-minute conversation with Garth Brooks, but...
They're talking about hours of hanging out.
Yeah, but hours of hanging out are nothing for me.
Yeah, the hours of hanging out for me is mostly with the Riv. I've spent more time with them. And they're not huge celebrities. I mean, like you said, these are almost at the same level as, like...
These are like cult, kind of...
Yeah, I mean, they're legends in rockabilly, but so is Elvis, and Elvis is way bigger than the Riv.
Well, it's funny, it's one of the guys I hung out with that I really enjoyed hanging out with. I actually was at a show where... it wasn't Reverend Horton Heat's full thing. It was actually part of his band was opening for them. That was the Cramps.
Oh, fucking!
And it
love
was Lux Interior. I got to hang out with Lux Interior and Poison Ivy.
Oh, nice!
And that was super fucking fun to hang with them at the Will Rogers Theater down in OKC. And he is just the wackiest motherfucker, and I don't use that word very often. It's the only word to describe him is wacky, but super fucking nice and funny.
I always wanted to hang out with that dude from the Melvins. What's the main dude's name?
Oh, yeah, I can't remember his fucking
name. The guy with the fucking big ass
hair? Yeah. But there was him, and then Jared, he goes by two different names. There's Jared Hendricks, and then Jared Lausch. And that's the lead guy from Kim Lab. I know him. He's a great fucking guy. Super fucking nice. He came to Tulsa to do a show at Mohawk Music, actually. Mm-hmm. Ended up hanging out with him. And I talked to him years prior to that, doing an interview with him for the thing called Tank Movement I used to work with.
Yeah.
And so he remembered me from that. And we hung out and bullshitted for quite a while. He's just one of the nicest fucking guys you'll ever meet. Total neurotic, just genius guy. And the other one would be Daniel Meyer.
Yeah, Daniel Meyer was pretty damn cool. Now I know you got to hang out with him a lot more.
Yeah, whenever I did that show with him, it was me and him sitting at the pool table with his keyboardist, because that's where the merch booth was, and just the three of us kind of hung out, and we were sitting talking about music and just movies, you know, because I find out talking about music with musicians.
And he was the guy that didn't know what a fajita was.
No, it's a fajita.
yeah, I know, but I just said
that. They tried to get going through talking about it, they're like, yeah, just order like a chicken fajita. He was a snickering that gave it away. He was like, I'm not doing this. He's also one that they woke up and he was boiling milk on their stove. And they were like, it's already pasteurized. He's like, oh. very fucking funny. There was one fucking, I can't remember the. Fuck him, I can't remember him. Sitting around hanging out with him was pretty interesting. I love Hot Job. It's one of my favorite bands, and getting to actually open a show for him and run sound as well for him, and sit there and just hang out with him and see the man work. And Attrition, those are some of the nicest. We actually spent Thanksgiving with Attrition, so they were super fucking nice. I played a couple shows with them, so yeah.
Well, I'm gonna move on to part two of the question, because that kind of kept us going for a while. Or not part two, but his story.
We just flexed our celebrity dick muscles.
Well, he says, in college I met Troy Duffy, a writer-director of the Boondock Saints, and Norman Reedus, which we were recently talking
about.
They're
actually doing a third Boondocks now.
Yeah.
After the second one, I'm like, I don't know about that.
Well, what Ian says, it says, Duffy was a complete ass to everyone, and Reedus was nice as can be. This made me honestly lose a lot of affection I had for the Boondock Saints.
I heard Norman Reedus is actually... Well, really super nice guy.
Yeah.
What's the other guy's Michael? Sean Flannery. Flannery or whatever.
Yeah.
Sean Patrick Flannery.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
I heard he's actually pretty nice as well for the most part. So.
And can't forget Billy Connolly.
Yeah. Billy Connolly actually here's one of the nicest guys you'll ever fucking meet.
That's somebody I
love.
Oh
yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He can be just as lively as some of the characters he does. I mean, the guy played fucking Fido, and that was hilarious.
For anybody that hasn't seen it, Fido is like one of the coolest zombie movies ever.
Yeah.
It combines elements of 1950s bullshit science.
Lassie and zombies.
With Lassie. Yeah.
So, I'm going to kind of move it along a little bit. We didn't get a lot of responses. There's no questions going out right now, aside from comments about the show. So, there's not really anything we've been giving to the fans, but... That being said, there is some cool news, and one of the things that I wanted to talk about was Deus Ex. Deus Ex Human Revolution has a director's cut for Wii U, confirmed so far at May 7th. The biggest things that I read about this so far is that they're fixing the boss battles,
and they're
doing a seamless integration of the DLC into the main game. It's also been up-resed from the console versions of the game.
Uh-huh.
For Wii U, he also said, like, Wii U has anti-aliasing, which the consoles don't right now. So they've done a lot of anti-aliasing work, some more work on the particles, and some more work on distance that they didn't have before. He also said they revamped the lighting of the game.
Now, you see, with the DLC, The Missing Link, you could actually, if you any of the DLC, actually, if you owned it, it was seamlessly integrated into the game, where you had the option. It would say... You're about to enter into the Missing Link DLC. Do you want to play it or skip it? And it gave you that option where you could just skip right over it and go directly to Storm Tower, Black Tower, to their island to finish out that part of the game. And I didn't realize that until I went back to play the whole game again, and it jumped me right in there. I was like, oh, okay.
So. Well, one of the things I said they're going to do differently is, like, with the boss battles, remember you have that first boss battle, the guy that'll fucking just... You pretty much have to.
You have to break
the game. Like the way, only way that I was able to beat it several times in stealth mode is I would hide behind the corner, so he'd butt up against the corner on the other side.
Yeah.
Pop out, shoot him a couple times in the head with the pistol, pop back in, and just do that over. I had to fucking cheese the shit out of it. So what they said they did.
Yeah, like Chromerax and Borderlands.
Well, when I played on the harder settings, all I did was I got behind that pillar and I popped out and just launched a grenade at him, just over and over, because I had a fucking ton of them. He dropped after like three of them. He was done.
Well, one of the things they said is they opened up the pathways on the top.
Mm-hmm.
And they've also taken like some, they stuck some hints in the fans. They're saying like, you know, before you only had one cell that would recharge.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're doing two cells that recharge to encourage players to use their actions more often.
Oh, yeah.
They've also redone the mini-maps and things like that to fit on the Wii U pad.
Nice.
As well as be able to see through walls and actually identify items and inventory that each of the people have.
Nice.
To see if you want to use it or not. So you kind of get your x-ray vision kind of thing.
So you can see if they're carrying more pistol ammo or if they're carrying an incendiary grenade or a gas grenade.
Well, like, yeah, and it's tailored to kind of beef up the stealthiness of what it was before, mm-hmm. so you know, like, you can select targets rather than taking everything.
Nice. That's what that game needed.
Yeah, because, I mean, it stands to reason that, I mean, the guy can see through fucking walls and punch you and grab people, but he can't look inside of a fucking locker before he opens it to know if there's anything in there. So, I mean, it's kind of, But I love Deus Ex Human Revolution, don't get me wrong. That's one of my all-time favorite games in the franchise, and I've played that franchise since the first game came out.
Well, if I buy this on Wii U, this would be the third time I bought it. I got the Collector's Edition for Xbox. I have the Collector's Edition as much as I could for PC.
Yeah.
It's the director's cut, so like I said, there's 8 hours worth of commentary that's on there as well.
If they put it on PC, I already own it on PC and Xbox. If they put it on PC, I will fucking buy it. Because I love Deus Ex franchise so much, I don't mind giving them money to see them continue in this game. Because, I mean, the end of Deus Ex Human Revolution sets up everything to redo Deus Ex 1 with updated graphics and maybe even a deeper story than it already was.
Yeah.
Because it brings the girl into it as a key player with the main bad guy, Paige, whatever his name was.
Yeah.
And you're like, holy shit, you know, that's the guy from the fucking first game. And they set it all up to seamlessly bring those in. I was like, this would be fucking badass if they do it. So I don't mind giving them, at that point, I'll have given them
over $100.
Over $130. And I don't give a shit about it. I'm fine with that. I paid $75 for the collectors. I paid $40 for the fucking PC. I don't mind paying another $40 for their director's cut. Because I
just wish there were more things coming out for Wii U, like the... Like, I really don't have a problem with the Wii U, to be honest with you. I think there's some really ingenious ideas. I think the console's fairly solid. I just think there needs to be more fucking software for it. And it seems like a lot of the stuff they're releasing for it are remakes.
Yeah.
Well, and things like that. And I wish they had a bigger back catalog. And, like, right now...
Right. But Nintendo also ruined themselves, though. You get into the first Wii, they ruined their catalog with it.
Well, you also
because nobody wanted to develop for the tracks.
Yeah,
but the Wii sold more console wise than anything else. Now, I was looking through articles doing my prep work, and I was looking and seeing that Xbox had actually is on right now via the NPD right now. They're at the 19 months of being the highest selling console. Yeah. The last month reporting was February or January. And they had still sold 320,000 units of the 360 for, you know, and this is a record-breaking month for them afterwards. But this is after Christmas. It's still selling 320,000.
Keep in mind, they're doing the $99 Xbox slot.
Right, and I was going to leave
that.
That's
one reason they're still
doing it. Well, I guess bring that up real quick. They did out the whole thing with a two-year contract.
Which is brilliant. Yeah. It is a brilliant
idea. It is.
Yeah.
So, to get people that are of lower income to be able to purchase it.
Well, now, not only that, there are a lot of people that their original Gen Xboxes are dying.
Yeah.
Well,
no. That's a smart idea.
That being said, with that many units being pushed on 360, Wii U right now is pushing for the month of February or January like 55,000 units. Like, there's a big difference. And part of that big difference, I think, lies in the software. Like, I'm getting ready to pick up Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
On top of BioShock next week. I'll be picking up Monster Hunter on Friday, and then I'll be picking up BioShock on Tuesday. And with that being said, like, Monster Hunter 3 is a reinvention of Monster Hunter Tri for the original Wii with up-res graphics with some additional missions, but it's basically the same game, just with better online integration. It's like they redid it, made a director's cut of the same fucking game.
They almost kind of have to with their more popular games from the Wii. it's almost expected at this point because they have an actual next-gen platform. The Wii really wasn't that.
Well, here's what I say Nintendo needs to do, and you can agree or disagree, but it would be smart for them to do, and that is that because the Wii was so kind of low-grade compared to the Xbox and the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3, and they were so closed on what games they were going to carry, they were focused more on family. They missed out on picking up a lot of franchises that were homeless at the time they were being worked on, saying, hey, we got this new idea for a new game series. Xbox snags it, you know, or EA, you know, EA snags it and sends it out to them. But what I'm saying is they didn't get in on all these new franchises that came out over the past several years, like Dead Space. They're getting it now, but that's after the fact. What they need to shop around, look at some of these smaller development companies that are doing really kick-ass work for such a small team. Give them some financing, back them, and release them as a Nintendo title developed by so and so, and start a new franchise.
I got into a conversation with Ian last night, and Ian was telling me, he's like, "Hey, it'd be really cool if Nintendo went the way of Sega and started franchising out, so you could get a Zelda game on a 360."
I kind of
wish they would do some of that.
Yeah.
That being said, though, I think with, again, the Wii U's major problem, in my opinion, again, is the software. There's not enough titles out there. Mm-hmm. For me to give enough of a damn. And I don't regret buying it because Zombie U is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
When I get more time, I'm going to go ahead and finally finish that. But, again, I'm a little bit of a pussy and that game is pretty intense.
Yeah.
That being said, though, Wii U just, if they had, because of the software sales and because of the hardware sales, people aren't taking the risk of saying, okay, we're going to release the new Dead Island on Wii U. We're not going to release the new Bioshock Infinite on Wii U.
But if they hit up a small-time company that's developing a really kick-ass idea for a game, and that's the key, like Remedy was working on Alan Wake, Microsoft comes and says, let's finance you, we'll buy you up. They bought them up, they became a Microsoft franchise, so they became a Microsoft developer, and then they released Alan Wake, which is a phenomenal underdog game. It's fucking gorgeous. Find a company that's working on, like, you know, any of these games. Give them a green light. Give them some financial backing. Keep your title, keep your franchises to yourself. Don't spread them out to 360. As much as I would hate to say that, because I would love to be able to play Twilight Princess on 360 or even on PC, it'd be great.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing that's keeping people going to the fucking Wii is these very, you know, these privatized franchises that they're holding that you can only play on theirs. So find a franchise. Jump on its ass. Yep. Something better than Mario is. No offense, but find something that's going to get the gamers in. Make the new Halo. Make the new Dead Space. Make the new Gears.
Because all of us have grown up from Mario.
Yeah,
I mean,
get something that makes you a heavy hitter against these privatized franchises.
And that's the thing is with the Wii, you saw Nintendo decide to not grow up with their gamers. Mm.
Well, I know they're trying to go more hardcore. Like the new Mario is basically a side-scrolling Mario that is hard as shit in points.
Yeah.
Like, it's actually as hard as some of the old-school stuff I used to play and be really good at.
Yeah, and now they're doing stuff like Zombie U, bringing in Dead Space, bringing all those,
Why wouldn't you go and grab something like Dead Space? Like, there are, little Dead Space side games for the DS. Mm. Why wouldn't you put the original Dead Space on Wii?
Well, they put Dead Space Extraction on Wii.
Yeah.
And that was a rail shooter. It was kind of fun. It wasn't too bad. I didn't mind it so much. But
why restrict
it
all
Dead Space game? Yeah.
But why restrict all these other franchises to just the DS?
Yeah,
the DS seems to get a lot of love right now, and that's mostly because the DS has so many sales.
Yes, it's cheaper.
Shitload of DSs.
It beats the PlayStation.
Most everything's going to be
portable and Vita by $200. I mean, come on.
And it has a lot more titles on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying is keep your catalog to yourself, Nintendo, but go out, look at the independent gaming teams, find a great idea for a game, and fucking buy it.
Go find you some place like Telltale or Double Fine.
And build your own franchise, your own IP that's going to be groundbreaking and only on your system, because that's what, you know, Xbox has Gears of War, it has Halo, PlayStation has, what do they have? They have their, what's that one?
Uncharted?
Game? Yeah, Uncharted, and there's another one called,
or
What the fuck is it?
God of War.
Or even there's that one, but there's another one.
Sackboy. What the hell's he on again?
Oh, that's Little Big Planet. But there's the other one.
Crash Bandicoot.
No. It's fucking hell.
I know what you're trying to think of.
Describe.
No, Infamous. Infamous, which is a huge trailer. A lot of people love that shit, and that's PlayStation exclusive. And that's what I'm saying, is that these are two of the biggest consoles that we use fighting against, and they all have 3 to 4 franchises on their systems that you can only get there that are for grown-ups. Wii, Nintendo, not so much.
Yep.
All the games are coming out that are for grown-ups, other than Zombie U, are already on
them. Even then, why break away from what they had with the GameCube, and that was maybe taking some older titles.
Yeah.
Giving them the upgrades they deserve and re-releasing them, like Metal Gear Twin Snakes.
Yeah.
And I played the shit out of that. Resident Evil Code Veronica.
Resident Evil 1, though, was the remake for Resident Evil 1, was one of the best video games I've ever played.
Oh, yeah.
I loved the shit out of it. Oh, yeah. It was fantastic.
You know, if you're not going to grab these things when they're first being developed, at least go out and give us something we can feed off of.
Yeah. What were you going to say, Justin?
I was going to say, just again, go with the concept of a new Zelda game.
Concept of a new Zelda game is pretty good, yeah.
Like, any new Zelda game, I think, would garner a shitload of support, to be honest with you.
Yeah. But, of course, every time, because of the way that the Wii was set up, anytime they tried to put a shooter out on Wii, it just sucked. It was horrible. And now that they have this Wii U controller as well as a retro controller that's more fitted towards kind of Xbox style, they could do first-person shooters and probably pull them off very well.
Yeah, because let's face it, the GameCube controllers didn't work real well on the Wii.
Yeah, I didn't mind them so much, but yeah, they didn't work too well on there. On GameCube, they were fine, but on Wii, it didn't work too well at all. No More Heroes is probably one of the best fucking games that I ever played on there. Yeah.
Ooh, I like...
Yeah, just something. Well,
that's the one that had the giant spider fight.
But there's no release date at all.
Yeah.
2014 is confirmed on that. I know Wind Waker's getting a remake. I'll give Wind Waker a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But I wasn't a real big fan when it came out originally.
Yeah.
Wind Waker was kind of like the kid's version of Zelda, and I just didn't want to play a kid's version of Zelda. Not that Ocarina of Time was hugely adult, to be honest with you. It was one of the best RPGs I've ever played.
After Ocarina of Time, I was spoiled. That was the problem. I went from Zelda, Link to the Past, you know, all this shit, and then all of a sudden, boom, they bring out Ocarina of Time, and I was just like, holy fuck, this, back at that age, I was like, this is groundbreaking.
That was awesome. Epic.
Look at the field outside Hyrule Castle.
Well,
not only that, but
Ocarina of Time came out shortly after Final Fantasy VII.
Yes.
And it compared to Final Fantasy VII on so many levels.
Well, the depth of the game, that you could go to all these different places that were totally... Yeah. Like, whenever you went to Zora's Domain, and it was just incredible.
That was the Zelda franchise growing up with us, and I felt like Wind Waker was kind of... That was a step back.
Yeah. Yeah, it kind of was. It's one of those things where, you know... I don't mind, like,
with Mario... It was beautiful visually.
It's almost like saying if Mario was going to grow up with us and get darker and a little bit more adult as we got older, then you can go ahead and do that, but why not develop another kid version as well? So you do Wind Waker, but at the same time release Twilight Princess. So one for the adults, one for the kids.
Now, that said, I only played Twilight Princess on the GameCube.
Same here. I only played on... I didn't want to, you know...
Yeah. I wasn't messing with it on Wii.
Yeah, when it came out on Wii, I was like, why would I even get that? I've already beaten it on GameCube, and the motion controls really don't seem to work that well for me, so I'm going to stick with the fond memories I had of it being on GameCube, which I enjoyed the shit out of that game. A lot of people trashed it. Yeah. I actually liked it.
I thought it was, again, it was the Zelda franchise growing up with us.
Very dark. I mean, people actually died in that one. Yeah. That was the first time you ever actually watched people.
Well, and you've gone to, like, the whole dark areas.
Oh, yeah, the ghost realm, where all the dead people... But whenever you're... I think you're in that desert area, and you go into the temple area, and you go through the cinematic, and it's talking about all these people being murdered. You actually get to watch people being murdered. Like, that's the first time I've ever seen somebody actually just get slain. Not just, like, the sword flies down and they cut away. No, they actually just straight up showed people getting killed. You're like, that's dark for Zelda, and that's actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, I'll give it that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, moving on. I'm on. You got any news going up?
No, just I'm really waiting on some news for the new Dead Island.
Yeah,
Riptide. I'm waiting on some more news for Riptide.
Everything I've seen, I'm enjoying that. I mean, I watched the Alpha videos, and they looked... Here's the cool thing, is the Alpha looked like Dead Island final release, final build, and they said, okay, yeah, so we made it to where the graphics are going to be 10 times better. And I was like, really? Let's see. And the Alpha, I was like, holy shit, if that's Alpha, then the beta and the final build is going to be fantastic. Yeah. And it does look really good. They said that they addressed some of the issues with the zombies all looking alike. They're going to diversify more. They're bringing in more stuff, more weapon combinations. And they have the new defense stuff where you're actually like building barricades and setting them all up. And it just looks pretty badass. I'm definitely interested. And I don't mind it's a lot of the same character, like Stampede.
That's one of the ones that I want to get on Wii U. But if because it's so multiplayer centric, I might end up getting it on PC or Xbox, depending.
Gonna buy it on PC most definitely because I have Dead Island. Actually, I might have got rid of my Dead Island 360. I still have it on PC, obviously, because it's Steam, and I enjoy playing on Steam. That's on PC so much more than I did on 360. And the graphics are just amazing on PC compared to 360 for it. So if the Riptide is going to be even better graphics, I want to see it on the fucking PC.
If I have my PC upgraded by then, that's where I'm buying it for.
So. All that being said, we're talking a little bit about Steam. You had some Steam news, right?
Yeah, I had some Steam news. One of the most joyous days has finally come around with a little bit of a string attached to it, like a little tampon.
Or teabag.
Lipton's. Anyways, basically, we all love the idea of getting to play games before they come out. Steam, and I was reading about this the other week because I was looking at the Arma 3 release because, you know, I like the whole idea with Arma, but anyways, I wanted to see how the game was looking. So I went to go check it out, and I could actually buy the game as an alpha, which was a cool thing. I was like, oh wow, so they're doing this thing where I can buy Arma 3 as an alpha, play it, give my ideas to the developers about what I liked, what I hated, and they'll actually work it into the beta if it's a good enough idea or if enough people complain about it. So that's kind of cool. So I can actually be part of the testing process without having to go and sign up for alpha.
I'd say that's what I've been doing with what the hell is that survival game I've been playing so much of? Don't Starve.
Yeah, Don't Starve. Yeah. And I love that idea. And a lot of indie games do that type of stuff. But now these bigger titles are looking at getting in on this. And Steam said that they're launching this new program where you can buy the video game, a new game, before it comes out, certain titles right now, at a discounted price. Like, I think Arma Alpha, you can pick up for $30. And you can get it at a discounted price, and you get to play the Alpha all the way up to release, getting patched constantly as well. It's live patching, so as you have it installed, it will update with any new things they've added in to fix it, so you can keep checking it out. And basically get move forward from there. And they have a list of games they're talking about doing it with. A lot of them were just independent titles. Arma 3 was on there, of course, and Arma 3 is looking fantastic graphically. I was watching some of the trailers for it with the gameplay, and I was just blown away. I was like, it's amazing that it looks this good.
Well, and let's face it, that's a next step developers really need to take. As sophisticated as we're getting as gamers now, you know, it helps to have our input, I would think.
Yeah, it really does, because there's some games that come out that I think that... It's one of those things that when you're working on a project, you get so wrapped up in it, you know all the ins and outs, so something doesn't seem that hard to you. But then when you put it out, the instructions are a little muddled, because you really didn't take the time to think it out.
Yeah, so going back old school to Oblivion with the final boss.
I don't like Oblivion. but it's basically one of those things where when I look at something like Resident Evil 6, the game I had fun playing, but the QuickTime events were just so fucking fast. Yeah. You had to hit them 1 second after
they were too fast.
And they were during parts of the game that really didn't need to detract you. I think I heard that if you beat the game, you can turn them off.
Yes.
They should have had that feature at the very beginning, or at least made them longer to hit, so you could actually...
I think it's that way on easy.
Yeah, they turn them off automatically on easy, but I think when you beat the game, you can actually turn them off, period. But they should have had... I don't know, the cinematics are so engrossing when you're watching them that
Yeah, the quick
sometimes times you forget about there's about to be something happening.
Yeah, I hate that. I hate because I'll be sitting there with my controller nowadays, and that's one of the main games that did it to me. Is now when I'm watching a cinematic, I'll do XYBA. I'll tap my fingers onto them really fast to make sure I know where they are because I'm not looking at the controller. I'm like, XYBA, and I'll go back to XYBA just so I know where the buttons are, so I'm ready to hit them. XYBA.
But you are right.
XYBA.
They were YBA. Fraction of the time you had with 5.
Yeah, they were horribly stupid. Yeah. So, but that's the new thing they're doing. Go on into Steam and check it out. And I can't remember. I think it might be called Steam First Look or something like that. But it's a pretty fantastic idea. And it's about time we had something like that where the gamers can get their input, you know, out there to the developers. So, yep.
So, quick thing. I played a lot of Katamari Forever.
Yes, you have been.
That game, I can't believe I've never played this game. I got lost in... Katamari's always been kind of a niche thing. Like, it never made... I mean, people that play a lot of games know what Katamari is.
There's beautiful Katamari, Katamari Damacy, and then Katamari
Damacy,
Forever.
Then Beautiful, and then Forever.
Yeah, yeah. And I used to play the beautiful Katamari.
Yeah, because you can get it on Xbox, but...
Yeah.
Katamari Forever was never released on Xbox. It was a PS3-only title. Mm-hmm. And I picked it up... fairly recently, and I was like, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. I always love Katamari. Mm. And playing it the other day, that game is a fucking acid trip. The reason I say that is, like, there's these little crazy Japanese, like Power Ranger style cartoons, like, inscribed in the middle of it. And you have two kings, like, there's a Robo King and there's a Dreaming King. Mm. Dreaming King gives you these weird, like, really weird missions. Like, you didn't see me doing it, but I was rolling a sumo, collecting food, and the sumo was getting fatter. And I had to knock a big sumo off a big, like, pedestal. The only way I could do that was getting my sumo fat enough to knock him off
the pedestal. That's what I like about Katamari, is just the bizarre ingenuity of what they come up with. Like, if you get to the end of the game, I think you're rolling up the entire universe.
Yeah, I'm sure that this one will end with rolling up the world and the universe.
Yeah, which was awesome as shit.
But, like, it's all these time challenges, basically. I'm stuck on it right now, which, again, Katamari is actually fairly difficult.
Yeah.
But... the art style in this is so fucking unique. And so I went around looking for Katamari news, to be honest with you. Mm. And the director, the creator of Katamari, is doing a new arcade game with a 16-button controller.
Wow.
That's focused on co-op play. It's called Tanya Wanya Teens. And it's focused...
sounds like a porn song.
Well, this is what they describe it as. It's a party game described
like
as a...
two girls, one cup.
Yeah.
He's like, it's described as a coming-of-age tale about love, hygiene, monsters...
two girls, one cup.
monsters and finding the occasional discarded erotic magazine in the woods.
two girls, one cup.
This is straight up that, yeah.
No real description beyond that. But, yeah, it's something new from this creator. And knowing how... off the wall that Katamari is. Mm-hmm. Nothing else like it.
No. There's been stuff that tries to be like it. Like,
yeah, but...
yeah.
There's one game I have on Steam that's actually the same concept of rolling crap. I think it's like At the World's End or something like that. I bought it. I just never played it.
Oh, yeah, I saw
it's
that.
It's not
yeah.
as good.
Yeah.
So.
But yeah, if he's doing something new, I'm sure that with as good as Katamari was, there's hands down, if he's got the same kind of creativity and does something different,
yeah,
then it'll probably be good. Other than that, I don't really have a lot more news. Mm-hmm. One thing to look forward to is I watch a lot of Face Off, and Face Off is a show that's about makeup designers and
special effects.
Yeah, special effects makeup.
Love
designers.
Face Off.
Yeah,
love it.
And actually, one of the guys that was here in town was on Face Off.
Yeah,
he does. Was it Trilal Studios or something like that? I can't remember. Yeah, they do Cthulhu masks and stuff like that. They actually did the Amazing Spider-Man, the Lizard Cops. They were the ones that did the design for the Lizard Cops and stuff and all that.
Well, that being said, like they do a lot of concept work on a lot of things, and they give these guys like a very limited amount of time to make some really amazing stuff. Sometimes you get shit, and those are the people who usually get voted off the show. And then sometimes you're like, that's fucking badass.
Yeah,
like the concepts they come up with,
like Race Season 2.
Yeah.
Oh God.
But
actually, that might be the guy that's from here.
No.
Race. No, that's not his name. Never mind. No, that's not
him. So anyways, the reason I bring this up, though, is the last challenge I did this week had to do with Defiance. Mm-hmm. And it was doing... because Defiance is something kind of new. They're doing a TV show/video game, MMO shooter. And they got the TV show that started
They told them, hey, you got to make something that's, say, like, if these two alien races had a baby, what would it look like? And so they did a challenge on that. But more so than that, I found out the guy that's doing Defiance mm-hmm. is the director of Battlestar Galactica, the release. And he was he was the guy that was behind Battlestar Galactica's reinvention, which means this could be actually
a good show,
maybe a good game. I don't know.
Well, if it's him, he'll probably have a lot of story development, very in-depth characters, and a lot of
Romps.
Yeah.
Well, if anybody's
like, Romps.
That's like one of my favorite sci-fi's of all time is Battlestar Galactica yeah. The reinvention. But
well, and if there's one guy I can imagine that could keep the
Caprica. Sorry.
Yeah, Caprica.
Caprica didn't capture me as much.
Actually, yeah. I really enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
Rewatching it.
But Caprica's first season started extremely slow.
It's very well. The first episode, I sat down to watch it, and they did not market this as Battlestar related at all. Yeah. And I'm watching it, and I'm just like, okay, this is interesting. Guy's daughter dies, and then they show what he does for a living, and they bring out the Cylon. Yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't even like the new Battlestar, but fuck yeah, all right. Not that I don't like it, I just don't watch it.
If you go through a season, you'll be hooked.
Yeah.
But if anyone could not only lead a series, but also keep the I guess you could say keep the game studio, you know, going along with the stories and vice versa, making the show follow what's going on in the game. It would be him,
Not Josh Whedon, because after Buffy, anything he does gets pretty much canceled. After
yeah,
I don't know.
Rip Firefly, we miss you.
Yeah, Rip Dollhouse. I missed the girls. That was about it. I didn't really like the story too.
Dollhouse was
the Avengers.
Dollhouse was
no. That's not a. That's a movie. We're talking about TV shows.
Dollhouse was just half a step away of being Skinamax.
I didn't say there was anything wrong with his shows. I just said that they get canceled quite a bit.
Yeah. Ever since Buffy, they're cursed.
Yeah, because they did Buffy for so many seasons, and then Firefly comes around, gets canceled. Fucking Dollhouse gets canceled. It's just, you know, everything that he does on TV now just gets fucking laid out. Movie wise though, if it's something iconic like Avengers, mega hit. Cabin in the Woods fucking sucks.
Yeah.
Alright, well, bringing that back around, I'm going to talk a little bit about releases and kind of wrap this up, unless you guys do you got anything else, Trent?
No, I'll just gestate
and talk about it next week. Okay. I talked a lot about Dragon's Dogma. That game is worth playing.
Oh god, that's a new Dark Souls.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
No, they got a new expansion called Dark Arisen.
Dark Souls.
Well, that's coming out April 21st. The same week that Riptide's coming out, which is also kind of an expansion or a two or whatever. The previous week, the week of April the 14th, you got Injustice Gods Among Us, done by Ed Boon and Brian LeBaron. Those guys are amazing at making fighting games.
Yeah.
And it looks brutal as shit without going too over the top. It's not going to be Mortal Kombat. But just these really big epic moves of like Superman taking a guy out to space and then crashing him all the way back down to Earth kind of stuff.
Yeah, a 5-minute long cinematic of you killing a dude.
Right.
It's like, wow, he's really giving it to him.
Aside from that, I'm trying to look and see if there was anything else of note. I know Defiance comes out the end of this, or April 2nd, so that's going to be something I'll pick it up and give it a shot. Battlestar typically didn't have any good video games, but the writing was strong in the show, so I'm kind of hoping that whoever's designing the game is going to end up being decent.
So that's one of the biggest shit things in the entire world, being a nerd. I'm going to throw this out there, and that is that every TV show or movie franchise, it's science fiction that comes around that you just love the shit out of. Pretty much 90% of the time, any video game they make for it sucks. Star Trek is a prime example.
Yes.
There's not a good Star Trek
game.
Some people like it online, but I'm not a fan.
No, it's Kenneth plays, Kenneth Mesrud, he plays fucking Star Trek online all the fucking time. Because it's free to play. I don't think he likes to spend too much money on video games, but I'm just like, why are you on there all the fucking time? That sucks.
I completely agree with you. The only one that I halfway enjoyed was Star Trek Legacy, and that was on PC. Mm-hmm. The Xbox version was completely pooned.
Yeah, the next generation where you're just flying around and you're doing away team down and it's pretty much moved this far.
That sucked. Yeah.
That sucked. And I always say that they need to make a good Star Trek, like, third person game.
Yeah.
And I always said they need to make a Buck Rogers, classic Buck Rogers, the 1950s, done by Rockstar, all black and white with the high lens flare and gloss.
Yeah.
Astro City, Buck Rogers.
But, well, there is a Star Trek video game coming out.
Yeah, which one's the, this is the one based after the new movie.
Yeah, though, this one's based on the new movie.
It's supposed to be an adventure co-op, third-person kind of game.
Yeah, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, we'll see how it turns out.
It's going to be on PS3, Xbox, and that comes out the same week as Dragon's Dogma.
Is it going to follow the story of Khan?
No, I don't know.
I won't play it then. Botany Bay.
I will say that next week, though, aside from the Monster Hunter stuff that I'll be talking about, you're going to have BioShock Infinite coming out.
Yeah,
I'm going to be picking that up on PC, along with Slender the Arrival, an official release for PC.
On Steam, I do believe.
Yeah.
On the nerd front, though.
Yeah.
I have to ask the question before we leave.
Well, I will go watch the shit out of the new Star Trek because I love what they've done.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't know about playing the game. Go ahead.
How do you feel about J.J. Abrams already being slated by Disney for the new Star Wars?
You know, I think I made the comment where the lightsaber is going to be a really dark movie, which I'm fine with that because it's about time. I've always wanted them to go dark because after
I want a mix between dark and what the original three movies were.
Well, go to Return of the Jedi. I want
that opera mix.
Go to Return of the Jedi, how dark that one got. Like, look, number one, the saber fight and Bespin, when they're in the fucking carbonite chambers.
Yeah.
Very dark fucking scene. Yeah. Then you go to Return of the Jedi, so you go to The Empire Strikes Back, the hand getting cut off, very dark fucking scene. Empire Strikes Back, the Bespin scene, sorry. Very dark scene, very awesome. When you go to Return of the Jedi, Jabba's Palace is what I meant to talk about. Even on Jabba's Barge, it's bright, that very dark scene. Very awesome, very dark trends. And the best thing is in the next trilogy, if they go in the proper order, it's supposed to be the next generation, where it's basically Luke is a Jedi Master. He is one of the very few that's left.
He has reestablished the Jedi Order in full.
And you have.
So he's going to be a bloated leader, or
he's supposed to be badass. He's supposed to be like what Yoda.
If you're an ultra nerd and you've read 90% of the novels like I have,
like all the Timothy's on shit,
he is going to be an ultimate badass.
Yeah. He's supposed to be, then you have any fans
out there, read the new Jedi Order before the new movies come out.
And then you have General Solo with handling the established rebellion, which is now the Republic once again. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do. Yeah. Because, I mean, I would love to see Harrison Ford come back. And I know he said he's down with playing Han Solo again. But I know that they're also talking about doing a Fett movie, and they're also talking about doing a Han Solo movie when he was younger, and I don't know how I feel about that, because as much as Harrison Ford played the perfect Universal Virgin, I don't think they could find another actor to do him
justice.
Other than maybe, what was his name, Josh Hartnett back, because they actually put Josh Hartnett and Harrison Ford in a movie together where they played together, and it's because they wanted Josh Hartnett to become the new Harrison Ford. And I said, you know, I can kind of see it. He's kind of very dry like Harrison Ford.
Hollywood Homicide. That's what it was.
And it's because Hartnett is very dry like Ford was as an actor when he was younger. And like I said, I could see him being Ford at a young age.
Yeah. But,
I'm fine.
I'm definitely going to be upset if they don't do the logical thing and go further than Zahn's original three novels. Yeah. So, because otherwise, age of the actors is just
dark
going
Empire Rising. And,
right. You had the Throne trilogy. Yeah. That was his original trilogy. Yeah. I really think you need to go ahead and flash forward, you know, 15-16 years and just go straight to New Jedi Order. And
Well, one thing that people got to remember is also the lifespans of people in the Star Wars galaxy is longer.
Is longer.
Much longer than regular people, so they could flash forward quite some ways and still have some of the same characters. They could go forward quite a bit and still have some of the same characters, which is fine by me. But I don't have a problem with J.J. Abrams being slated to do it. If anybody's going to actually bring a new light onto it and a new twist, hopefully the saber battles won't be too lens flared out. But, you know, not that we can see what's actually going on.
I actually don't have much of a problem with it either, as long as he does like he did with Star Trek, and he does a little bit of twisting.
And a little bit of humor. Good humor.
A little bit of good. Reintroduce a little bit of quality humor. And as long as he doesn't carry it too far, because I think with Star Wars,
it'll be cheeky if they can take it too far.
Right.
Well, it'll turn into Attack of the Clones.
Not only that, but with Star Wars, it's a whole lot easier to take those twists too far than it is with Star Trek.
Star Trek is always... Star Trek is fairly linear. Yeah, Star Wars has always been on that cusp of, this is very theatrical. Like, well, it's because it follows the Wagner trilogy of, you know, the hero. You know, it's basically that very theatrical, grandiose story of good versus evil. And when you do something like that, you run a really fine line of falling into really cheesy and stupid. Yeah, you know, like look at Flash Gordon. That could have been Star Wars. That was actually Star Wars Episode 1, 2, and 3. But it wasn't meant to be, and that's why it was horrible. Flash Gordon was supposed to be fucking Flash Gordon. That was the joke about it. It was made to be that bad. Star Wars 1, 2, and 3, he didn't realize he was making it that bad, so that's why it's fucking really sad. Sorry, George. Here's your hat. Get the fuck out. And then John Williams, I think, he's not coming back to do them. I think they're... Are they sticking with Danny Elfman?
I think they are, yeah. Haven't officially said, but that would
Ben
be
Foles.
My...
Just get Ben Foles on the phone. Just have him. He does everything else. No, I don't like Danny Elfman, so... Yeah.
You got anything else, guys?
Danny Elfman sucks.
Fair enough.
Oingo Boingo was one thing. But
George Lucas should have quit much earlier while he was still ahead.
Well, some people say Star Wars has a religion that's built. Well, it is a religion. It was like Mad TV did a skit about George.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
well, it is a religion. Sorry, we're done trashing. We're nerdgasm.
Fair enough. Well, I'm going to kind of bring up, we're going to have another guest next week.
Yes.
We will have Earl.
Brace yourselves for Earl. I warn you now.
He knows him. I never met the guy, so.
Yes,
you Earl. You think I can get loud. Just wait for Earl.
We'll just set Earl on the other side of the room.
Yeah. It'll just be in my room chiming in every once in a while. It's like, I like that.
So, but next week will be fun as well. We have, just shout outs real quick, we have some friends of the show. We have the CarouselPodcast.com. We have ElseWorldsPodcast.com.
Baby Jesus.
We have For the Love of Gaming, BMFcast.com, NoQuarters.net, and TVGP.tv. They do good things. Find us at tiltcast.com. Look us up on iTunes as Tiltcast. Rate us and review us.
And we're doing a redesign.
Yeah, yes. That's going to be a big project.
I want to bring that in because that's going to be awesome.
So we're going to redesign again.
Trent's proud of himself on the redesign, just warning you.
I haven't even done it yet. But yeah, it's going to be awesome. It's going to be fucking sweet.
So, we got a lot of things planned for that. I don't want to make any early promises until we're done.
No promises. Live streaming video, 24, no, just kidding, of Justin's bathroom.
Taking big steaming
piles. We call it the crapper cam. It's going to be awesome. Get tilted on the crapper cam.
Let that haunt your nightmares for the next month, people.
Tilt this, motherfucker.
So, find us at twitter.com/tiltcast, facebook.com/tiltcast. Also, find us on email us at teabag@tiltcast.com. And that's it for the damn show. If you want to write us about anything random, just write us and we'll talk about it. So anyways, that's it for the show. We hope you like what you heard, and we will see you guys next week. Posting this on Saturday. The next one should be... No.
This one is on Friday. Friday, yeah.
We post the next week's on Saturday.
Because we'll be recording it the Thursday, yeah. So
that, we will see you guys later. Thank you.